Blog Talk Radio.
Carry on, my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
everybody. How's it going? This is Psychic X Journeyman here on Psychic X Journeyman Talk Radio here on Block Talk Radio. Welcome to the show. Today is Missing Spiritual Links Tuesday. We're going to be talking more about Atlantis and that kind of stuff and clearing the whole thing. So let's talk about Atlantis. That's what we're going to do tonight. So join us for some insight about Atlantis. Still, you know, basically what we're going to do is it something that's in the past or can it be still around at this moment? Doing the kind of thing going back and forth, okay? So also, we're doing free readings tonight, too, so call in. We actually have a three-hour show going in here, so give it all. And ask us a couple questions. We're doing free readings. We do tarot card angels readings, angel card readings, and we also do past lives. So call in. See if you were, especially with the past lives tonight, because I would like to go back to the whole thing, because I've been able to trace a lot of people back to having a lifetime in Atlantis. So let's check that out. I think we should. What do you say? I think so. So let's look at the situation. Also, I'm going to try this. And welcome to the show. I'm also going to introduce my co-host, which is Bree. How you doing, Bree?
Hey, I'm doing good. And how are you?
I'm doing fine. You know something with the situation with the switchboard and that kind of thing? Sometimes you got to click that sucker. And I always sit there and work with it. I'll push the first part of the little speaker. I'll push the back part until it works. It can drive you crazy. And then when you sit there and work on the screening room, it's the same thing. I don't know what it is. It's touchy. Because I was actually trying to click on you, and it took me three tries. And then when I was trying to go into the screening room a while ago, it did the same thing. I was actually six tries. So you also said you was going to bring someone on tonight, didn't you? It also has a lot of knowledge about Atlantis itself. Is that still going to happen?
Yeah. He's actually on with me right now.
Okay,
so whenever
cool.
Whenever you want him on, you just let him know.
Okay, no problem. So how about yourself? Did you do any research, or did you just kind of run across somebody here that could actually give some input to and thought that was more intriguing? Is that a good word?
I was reading up a little bit of it, but yeah, my friend
knows okay.
A lot about it, so.
Oh, like, no problem.
Okay.
No problem. We got some callers on the phone and that kind of stuff, and what we're going to do is we're going to sit here and discuss the subject and that kind of stuff, and we'll take one call, you know, we'll take a couple callers here and there. If it's okay with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a crazy day, I'm telling you that. My daughter locked her keys in the car, and on top of that, her daughter was still asleep in the car seat. And what happened was, it's these new cars. What happened was, she took her keys, spontaneously threw them on the freaking seat in the front seat, and, you know, just shut the door, so it wouldn't hit the sidewalk, and in the process, it shut. As soon as the door shuts, it locks all the locks.
Oh, those cars.
I was like, man. So I told my daughter. Yeah, it's kind of a crazy situation. But it all worked out. We called the police. They came down there, got into the car, and took care of the situation, that kind of thing. So have you ever locked yourself out of your wheelchair?
All the time.
Oh, all the time? You get your little Slim Jim and pop the lock, huh?
Yeah.
So, hey, I was just curious. Come on, guys. But, so you're gonna have your friend on later on. What's his name?
His name is Tyler.
Tyler?
Yeah. Is he there?
Yeah, I'm here.
You sure? Okay.
Physically.
Now, Tyler, who's Tyler? Is he one of your friends?
Yeah, yep.
Or did you just find someone off the street and just jerk him in the house and say, you're going to be on the show tonight?
I did. You caught me.
That's what we call spontaneous improvising, okay?
Yeah.
So, Tyler, we got a couple callers on the line, so if you can just hang out there for a couple seconds, let's take at least one call, and then I really want to hear your insights to Atlantis, because that's something I've been studying for a long time too. So let's take area code 440. Welcome to the show, yeah. And what's your name?
Hi, Kelly.
Kelly, where are you calling from, Kelly?
Cleveland, Ohio.
Hey, Cleveland, Ohio. I actually live in Circleville, Ohio. How's that, huh?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't brag about it too much, but...
Okay, I moved to a small town, so...
Do you live close to Parkman?
I don't... Well, I used to live in the Youngstown area.
Oh, okay. Well, actually, I think Parkman's actually on the suburbs of Cleveland.
I'm trying to say, is it the smaller town, right?
Yeah, it definitely is.
Yeah, I think it's out by 44 by the Amish area, I think.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
So say hi to Bree, my co-host.
Hello, Bree.
And her friend Tyler.
Hi, Tyler.
Hey.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
What's up?
So, Kelly, you have a couple questions for us?
Yes, I am calling. It's a love question. I have a friend who we worked together for a few years, and we've known each other for years before that. But we became very close working together, and our chemistry was really good. We would sleep in a bed together almost every weekend for about a year and a half, if not longer. Not when he had girlfriends and stuff like that, but we never did anything physically except for cuddling. And everyone said, oh, you guys are meant to be together. And he's like, no, we're just friends, we're just friends. He would always say to everyone, we're just friends. But he would, you know, sometimes treat me as if we were dating. And to this day, I mean, now we're kind of distant. Like, we'll get distanced for a little bit, and then we'll get closer. And just a big cycle. And we've had a lot of talks, you know, at night when we've been drinking. And then, you know, the next day he's... like he completely doesn't want to admit half the things that he said or said that he's only saying those things to scare me away, and he's just not making sense, and I need to kind of know.
Who said that he's saying those things to scare you away?
Yeah, he said things before, like, are you ready to do this? You know, like if I've said, like, I really care about you. And he would say things like, you know, you have to know I do this. And I said, I know. And next day I brought it up. And it's like, well, I was probably saying those things to scare you into not wanting to be with me. And I was like, okay, you're really...
Wow.
Yeah.
What a crock. No, seriously, that's a crock. That's the idea of the situation. It has nothing to do about scaring you off. That's the idea of putting things in perspective, and he's drawing boundaries for himself. He's saying, when he sits here and says, we're just friends... He's not really saying that to anybody but himself. So when the situation is, this is a person who's sitting there saying, you don't want to be with me, not because, and someone's like scared, let's all reverse this whole thing and put it in reverse psychology category and say, okay, everything he says, let's direct it toward him. Then it makes sense, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
He's the one scared. He's the one that doesn't want to do this. He's the one that does do this. He's a back and forth kind of man. He's on a seesaw. And you're just hoping it breaks in the middle, so therefore he's stuck on one side and he has to deal with it. Because this is a situation that I fall in the category of being so good for him, that's why it's so scary, because it actually might work.
Mm-hmm.
So the situation is, it's just being, some people don't like the word patience, but that's the word I get here, is patience. Mm-hmm. But it's also the idea of calling him, it's also calling him on the situation. I'll give you an example. I had a girlfriend I liked that too. And she goes, I can't get close to you. I'm sitting there going, hold on. You sit there and held me for 18 hours straight.
Yeah.
Because you went through a freaking situation that, you know, and you actually reached out for a person you could trust. And I only met you 2 days ago. So that's full of it. And she's like, you're right.
Right,
as soon as you
call,
as soon as you call them on it, they have a tendency to go, you're right, and then they open up. So see, if you don't open the door, they won't either. That's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I call these little slams. Keep the door shut, want to go there. Because it says to me, I get Archangel Raguel, we angels are opening the hearts of everyone involved. Arguments, conflicts. And usually when it says arguments and conflicts, it doesn't always mean between two people. It usually means within one person who's having a conflict. What should I do? So it's relationship harmony. When I look at the card itself, and I've been working on this a lot, where we sit here and look at the situation of a person who has a very strong aura. And you see a lot of oranges here. So, okay, oranges is a lot of desire. When you get the impression of a lot of desire and that kind of stuff, it's kind of like it's unbalanced. So it's overwhelming him. but he's not dealing with it either. So it just kind of gets out of control. So then you see an angel sitting here going, let's open it up.
Uh-huh.
Sit back. Instead of trying to run away from the situation, put the light around you for protection and protect yourself. So therefore you can still interact and see what it's all about. And that's what I see here with this situation. Now, since he won't take that responsibility and do that for himself, doesn't mean you can't do it for him.
Uh-huh.
It's just basically talking to your guardian angels, talking to his guardian angels, and even asking your angels to sit there, and could you go and protect him for the situation? So therefore, like surrounding with the white light or the pink light, whichever one you feel comfortable with. So therefore, and I've always seen this happen too, where you sit there and look at the situation, and you do that for somebody else, and they feel comfortable being around you.
Uh-huh.
Because the emotions and this love, which I feel like in some sense of the word, he really hasn't really experienced to the fullest. So when it happens, he has to take it in very small doses. But once he, you know, like everything else, when you jump in the water, you know, you dip first a toe, a leg, an arm, you kind of do jump in for a time and you have to sit there and kind of get used to it. But once you're there, can't get you out of it.
Yeah.
Same thing here.
Sorry, you think part of him is he's an experience in love?
Yeah. Think about this realistically. It's like a person who becomes a parent for the first time. They don't come with a manual. So it's a trial and error and all kinds of things. But one thing we know for a fact, we never learn anything until we actually put ourselves in it. And those are just situations where we have to.
Right. Yeah, and he does live with three guys, and I live by myself. So it's like he's partying, and that's one of the things he mentioned to me that one night. He's like, you have to understand, you know, I work late, and I come home late and stuff like that. And
you just want to look at the guy and go, blah, 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 blah. Come
yeah.
on, man.
Yeah, he's more content. I know when he's content, you know, and when lately, the past few weeks, he's been putting his guard up around me.
Yeah, why? Why would he do that if he didn't have the same feelings for you?
Right, exactly, you know, and I've been trying to hang out with him, and he's like, oh, I'm doing this, this, and this. I'm like, okay, well, guess who's going away this weekend, you know? I mean, me. But it's funny you mentioned the patience thing.
I'm just saying, I would sit here and look the guy in the face and say, hey, I'm going off this weekend to explore my lesbian side. Bye. And freak him out. It's just a shock treatment, okay? Might sound crazy, but makes him think, going, what?
Oh, yeah, like, my parents live about an hour and a half from here, so I go down there and go visit friends. And last time I did that, he was texting me at 1 o'clock in the morning on a Friday, like, what are you doing? And I'm like, you know what I was doing, you know, don't play these
games.
But it's funny how you mentioned patience. That's actually one of the tattoos we've always talked about getting. And that night that he was saying all those things, I was showing him the tattoo I drew up of patience, and then he was drawing one. That said patience and was drawing up one of his grandpa who's up in heaven. So it's kind of funny how you mentioned that.
Grandpa's not in heaven. Grandpa hangs out with him all the time. He's always smacking him in the back of the head going, come on, son.
Yeah,
and
you know, it's weird because I mentioned how he told me about his grandpa the next day. He's like, I mentioned grandpa to you? And I was like, yes, you did. So he was kind of like shocked that he said something to me about his grandpa. And then, you know, I was like, you were just opening up to me. Like, what's wrong with that, you know?
Yeah, he doesn't do that very often with anybody.
No.
I don't think the guys he actually lives with know anything about his grandfather.
Yeah, well, I think, no, none of the guys he lives with know. I think his good friend Spencer does, but Susie doesn't see much anymore.
I'll just say, chosen few.
What's that?
There's just a chosen few that know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm surprised he doesn't talk. We have a very good communication level.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes it...
Like I said before, the situation the cards go, relationship harmony, Archangel Regal is working with you. There is a good book out there by Adoring Virtue called Archangels and Ascended Masters. It covers all the archangels. I think there's almost 12 of them. And then we have Archangel Gabriel. We all know about that. This one here is communication. But this is a leadership route. This is a leadership card. And it just basically says it's time for you to assume your leadership power and position and lovingly guide others. So we have a person here who's kind of like doesn't know what direction to go in, but he does. So it's just the ideal of making... I wish all these people in town would go home. It drives me crazy. Every time I open the freaking window, they all say, Donnie's window's open. Let's go visit him. Okay. But it does show a really strong power with that, too, that leader position. When it says lovingly guide others, it's like in relationships, you know, when people have a tendency to, they want to run away from things. It's just like I said before. It's just the idea of making you, which you are the light, brighter, more desirable. You know, someplace he wants to go.
Right, and he said after everything he's decided, I decided that it's best, you know, not to be with you because I'm just going to hurt you. And like 80% of the time I'm attracted to you, but 20% I'm not. I'm like, oh my God, what is wrong with you? Like, get it together.
He's
you know?
A Dr. Phil wannabe, but he forgot that one chapter, commitment. Okay. so think about that. Seriously, it's like... I've heard people do this. I actually worked with a couple of women who actually read the book on it's about abusive men, and it says 97% of abusive men can't be changed. But see, they forgot to look at the chapters that actually tells you that that percentage can actually change if we'd all sit there and focus on the 3% who can and change that to 97%. So we sit here and look at the situation here as a person who skipped the commitment chapter saying, I'm running away from the whole situation of what might be and the possibility is that maybe I should sit here and say, well, this is what's going to happen, so why even go there? This is what we call monkey wrenching.
He's going to throw it away. I mean, if he doesn't buck up, I mean, it's going to be tossed away, you know?
I'm just saying, the one thing you should do in this situation here is it's like still be friends, still associate,
right.
But
yeah.
You don't sit there and share anything with him. So when you go to your parents, you just say, I'm leaving for the weekend. Don't see him tell him where you're going. I mean, this might sound like I'm playing games and stuff, but what it is mm-hmm. the idea of looking at the situation going, I just don't feel like sharing information with him because I know there's more that he's not telling me.
Oh,
and it's just a way of looking at the situation going, okay,
right. Generally, if I go out of town, I'll tell him. But I haven't seen him in a while. But I'll go on Facebook and say, oh, you know, leaving town for the weekend or something like that. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So then he is, I'm gone.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, Archangel Gabriel's here. I put 7 cards down for you. Archangel Gabriel's here twice. We also have the Archangel Ariel. Let me put it this way, Azrael. Which is actually, the angel of ascension, which means the idea of letting it go, like letting go of the past. Because basically what it's talking about is the angels are with you, him, and all concern in the process of this time of need. Because it can be kind of hurtful with the situation, what he's doing. So they're helping you heal your heart, but also the reason his hesitation is there is because of his own pain and own baggage he's carrying too. But it talks about friendship and... It seems like the situation, like I said before, it's more of focusing on yourself and what you want and nurturing yourself and, how would you put this, just giving yourself the same time as you give the situation in him. And by doing that, we always sit and look at the word attraction. What does attraction mean? Everything comes to us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the idea of, I swear, the one thing I get the most is the idea of opening up to what's going on around you as in the spiritual world. Balancing out the two, because as we have an imbalance within this person here, which reflects back to you, you have the same thing. And if you work on that, that will bring you guys together.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what he wants. He's looking for guidance. He can say what he wants. But all this stuff, reaching out and saying all this stuff, is nothing but him talking to himself. I guess he feels like he needs to do it out loud to keep reminding himself, I can't go there.
Yeah.
Remember, it's like almost like saying, "Remember what happened last time I did this."
Mm-hmm.
What you need to do is show him. Almost to the point, what came to me was just looking at him, going, "You know something? You're right. This would be crazy to go to actually have a relationship."
That's what I'm gonna try to do this weekend. Is act like, "Oh, you know, I don't need you."
Well, put it like this. You don't need to feed into the whole thing and say anything negative. What you need to do is just say, hey,
well, right.
Thank you for stopping me doing something crazy. And just leave it that way. Let him think. See, what you're doing is you're getting him to think. That's what you need to do. You cannot tell him all of it.
Right. Like I said, this weekend, like, you know, I'll be having a good time and, you know, I won't be saying anything negative. It'll make him think, oh, I wonder what she's doing. She's having a good time without me, you know.
Yeah, I'll give him a call and leave a message for him. So I just slept with 3 guys. It was the best experience I ever had. Goodbye. I got. They're waiting for me, and have some guy in the background. Hey, come on back. And I'm swear, you know, you have some guy going, whoa. Yes,
right.
We're enjoying life to the fullest.
That's what it's going to take, you know, is, you know, my, like, a fling that, you know, I used to fling with, I guess. He might be coming home this weekend, so.
I'm just saying, if you have a tendency to do any of those techniques, make sure this person you're going to do it with knows what's up. You don't want to bring anybody else into the mix where
he knows.
With that karma coming back.
No, he already knows. I already told him about it, so.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
That's a great thing. Yeah, try that one.
Yeah. Pretty open nowadays with people about this. It's a very, so do you feel like, you know, that me and him are going to, you know, be together?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said before, I have all these angels working, that kind of stuff. I mean, realistically, you don't have to say anything. You just walk off and do and just live your life.
Mm-hmm.
I just see the guy come running.
Yeah, he has before. And when I told him I couldn't be his friend anymore because I couldn't handle it,
mm-hmm.
you know, he was drunk at the bar when I showed up, and he was like, oh, I love you. He's like, I don't love you, but he's like, I'm not in love with you, but I love you, and we make a good match. And I'm like, okay, what are you trying to tell me? You know? He was just saying all this crazy stuff, but he's like, you threw me off the planet. And I'm like, well, like, look what you do to my head.
It's just one of those things. Just sit there and look at this. I mean, like I said before, if you can do it, do it. And it's like one of those things, like we said before, it's definitely going to happen. It's just one of those things. You just don't give in so easily.
Right, I know, that's my problem. If he was to call me up and be like, hey, let's get a drink, I'd be like, okay, you know, but if I do that to him, he's like, no, I got no money, or, you know, I'll make up some kind
mm-hmm.
of dumb excuse.
I'm just saying, sometimes in situations like this, the less you say, the more results you get. And I've done it before myself. I just look at people going, I'm going somewhere. And then
right.
I just leave. And I do it a lot of times with a couple of companies I work for, too. It's just the idea of you do have a life, and you're going to go live that life. And you need to go live that life. And in the process, I've always said before, when you live life, you do good.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're living your life, that's when all the things happen, the manifestations. Because it's like, I always say, if this is supposed to be a part of your life, it already is. So therefore, you have to live your life to be a part of it, so it can be a part of you. That's the same thing with here. Why would a person avoid something so drastically if it wasn't something it was supposed to be? And some people, this is the thing we got with free will.
It's really powerful, and I've even paid for, like, psychics and stuff, and I've had, you know,
mm-hmm.
like, some of them say, you know, like, oh, you guys, it's not going to work, you know, he's not going to grow up. And I've had others say, you know, he's going to open up to you real soon, and, you know, all this good stuff's going to happen. And that's
I'm just saying, let's try to put it in perspective here, okay? I love to have a show where it teaches you how to talk to psychics and ask direct questions. I think sometimes we're scared to ask direct questions because we're scared we won't get the answer we want. When you look at somebody and said, do you think this is he going to open up to me and that kind of stuff? He has opened up to you. And then he pulls back. So that's a back and forth kind of thing. It's the ideal. I sit here and look at the situation, and what I feel like in this situation you need to do is you need to do chakra clearings, work on your aura, let go of your baggage, and that kind of thing like that. So therefore, the connection between the two of you just gets more intense. The more intense and more clear it is, the more he can't resist it anymore and understand why it is there in the first place. Because realistically, dumbass, with him, it's like saying, you've been asking for this. You put it out to the universe, and here it is. And now you're saying no?
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, come on, man. This is what you've asked for. And
you're with me, right? But you're not comfortable enough to have a family. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm just saying, this to me, this situation has to do with, it needs a lot of straightforwardness. When I sit here and say honesty, is look at this guy going, you are so full of, won't you stop? And really tell me how you really feel. And the idea of coming over here, and this might sound crazy, But I just feel like it's the ideal. Once it starts, it's not going to go backwards. It's just the idea of getting everybody to go past that point and have him cross those lines. Once
yeah,
he crosses the line.
Yeah, he can be honest. Like, I can talk to him and he can open up to me, but then,
mm-hmm.
you know, he'll try to cover it up other days and try to play cool. And it's like, you know that you can sit and talk to me about anything and I am not, you know, going to sit there. Like, if he actually sat with me one-on-one to talk, I don't sit there and beat him up about it, you know. It's like, I'm here to listen
mm-hmm.
to you. And I'm always honest with him just about, I mean, we're learning more about each other, which is good, too, you know, that we have flaws that might actually help us click even better, you know, like psychological flaws, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My part worrying too much, you know, and he's starting to see that more and more, you know. And his part, obviously, you know, saying he
mm-hmm.
doesn't know what he wants, but deep down inside he does.
Oh, yeah. I just want you to sit down and sit. Also, with the situation, I've always said this before over and over again, that nothing is more stronger than divine intervention. And that's why I was interesting work with your angels. Because, I mean, we have Archangel Gabriel, Archangel Ariel.
Yeah.
Well, I also have Ariel, too. And Archangel Uriel, and me too, Archangel Uriel is the ideal to have the strength to stand up for what you believe. And you really believe in this situation, so that's why I'm always sitting here saying this can really work in your advantage, but it's the ideal of being clear about exactly what you want to accomplish in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And putting it out there, just like that. I'm telling you, I just feel like it's going to work out, but it also takes a lot of interaction with you as well.
Right.
And just make it perfectly clear, because I got the idea of writing it down, writing it out, so you can see it, but also the situation, it just seems like it makes it clearer for you. But also put it out there, too. Because one thing that drives me crazy with the situation of the relationships is to understand the situation itself is to understand that when you put it out there, let it fall in the place of what it's supposed to. So if it's not meant to be, that sign will also be very clear as well. And also so it's like keeping your head and your mind clear, and the idea, they said, doing chakra clearings and stuff, so you can actually see it. I feel like it's going to be good. I think it is going to work out. But I'm just saying, in situations I've talked to women who have a tendency to be dead bent, this is the guy. And
right.
A lot of times with the situations is there are twin flames and soulmates and that kind of stuff who refuse. So I always feel like there's maybe not the twin flame or the soulmate you're looking for, but somebody that you can be with, because that person won't accept what's real. Do you understand? So if this person is so persistent, because see, the one thing about psychic readings you can't predict, because I don't feel like the future is written in stone. I think by choices and making different decisions, it changes. As
right.
I see it now, I see it definitely unfolding the way you want to. It's like I said before, you have to be very crystal clear about exactly what that is, and don't be scared to get what you want.
Right.
That means trust the situation, trust your gut instinct, and go, this guy needs to be told straight out, this is how I feel. I don't want to hear his crap. I want the truth. And he's not being truthful right now.
Right.
Because it's like, look at the guy do this too. This might sound crazy, but you look at the guy in the face and you say, I want you to stop playing games.
Mm-hmm.
Because you fall in the third category of a player, is the one who wants to play around the real stuff.
Yeah, and he said to me before, don't play these games with me, kind of like if I didn't answer my phone after I left the bar or something. It's like, come on, buddy.
Either you give a commitment, but don't expect one back in return if you don't give one.
Exactly.
So I'm just saying, with the situation, take it for what it is, go on. If you end up with somebody else, I always say this, honor the person you're with. Because I've been in situations like that, too, where you have a girlfriend. I mean, you have a very strong connection. You've been together many, many lifetimes. In the process of splitting up and going two different directions, you hook up with somebody else. And then this other person comes back in your life. I always say, you're with that person you're with right now for a reason, because that person has actually decided to give you what you want. And they're also strong enough to do it. But the person who took off, if they don't come back with something, if it doesn't work out that way where you wind up with them, then you don't go there on purpose. you honor the relationship you're with. Because this is almost like a learning lesson, too, because it shows them. Next time it happens, we're not going to sit here and go, well, quit playing Ronald Reagan and snap out of it.
Right. Yeah. We've always fallen back to each other somehow, and there's always that strong, strong chemistry just whenever we're just talking.
Yes.
With each other. It's just...
That's what I'm saying. Trust that. So the idea of being blunt, straightforward, and let him have it, trust the bond, trust the connection, trust the love that you have. That is what he needs to hear. Okay?
Okay.
I'm serious. You'll love it. Because I've always done it myself. I just start looking at the guy and go, hey, well, the girl. And I just say, this is what I want. This is how I feel. And it's about you and this and the other. So therefore, you should open up to the possibilities because it's what you've been looking for. Or I wouldn't be here.
Right.
Is that cocky? Yeah, sure, it's cocky. But it's also confident in yourself that you know what's up. You feel it. You're just the one who needs to say it. So everybody else can come out of the shell and say, God, I was thinking that. And here's someone who's saying it. So it's, yeah, go ahead.
I said something today. It was through a text. We were just talking. And, you know, I said, I sometimes worry about other people's judgments and what they see, you know, between what me and you have done or whatever. And I said, but I have never let their judgment stop me from following my heart and you know, making the choices or something like that. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's afraid that I let people judge and that I'll let that affect, you know, my decisions in life. But it will never stop me from being with someone that I feel will be good for me.
Well, go for it. So, with the situation at hand, is there anything else you'd like to ask about anything else?
Oh, I think that's pretty much. I just had a quick question about the angels. Is that something is that a card, or is that something that you just pick up on spiritually?
No, it's the ideal. When we sit and do the cards are just confirming what I already feel and what I've already said, and the cards back it up, and they just give me really good insight on who those angels are. And the idea of actually looking at the situation and going, okay, Archangel Gabriel, for me, is for communication. And the ideal of sitting here telling you need to open up and tell him the way it is, that's communication. And I feel like that angel's with you to give you that strength.
Cool.
Okay, so we look at Archangel as, I'm trying to pronounce this right, it's A-Z, Azrael. And this is the angel of ascension, which is the angel of death. But people look at the situation when you get an angel like that, it's the ideal, let go of the past, because it is. It's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Everything.
Yeah.
It's like today, you and this person. What is his name? I'm sorry.
His name is Jay.
What is it? I'm sorry.
Jay.
Okay, you and Jay is the ideal letting go of everything that happened to this second, because it doesn't exist anymore. And then proceed to go forward. And when you run across them again, you just look at the situation and go, okay, what do I feel? I feel the same. Or you could put it in different terms and say, I definitely feel a connection here. I definitely love this person. And then you go from that point on. Because I guarantee you, by confirming it, I keep saying, I would just love to be with him. Thank you, God and angels, for having us cross paths. Because I feel like we are.
Yeah.
And just open up to the situation and just, you know, don't say anything of the past.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when he used to do this, or he drives me crazy. But no, it's like, this is Jay. This is, because the person he was even 2 weeks ago, that person doesn't exist anymore. What you have to really look at is focus on the person that's right in front of you right at that moment.
Yeah, we both have a past that kind of haunts us, and I think that scares both of us.
Yeah, but see what the beauty of this whole thing is? You forget about it. You take the energy away from it. It doesn't exist anymore, so it doesn't haunt
you
anymore.
Yeah, I don't. I believe that, like, with my ex, I never let, like, I always brought the past up into the present. And with Jay, I don't. It's like, that's irrelevant, you know, to what's going on. I don't ever drag anything on from the past. If something bothers me, it's done and over with in a week, and I don't get angry about it ever again.
I'm just saying, what the situation is, the one thing you guys do have is a very strong friendship. that is a foundation of a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
As long as you guys can keep honest and say, yes, he's an asshole, but you know something? That's just a part of who he is. It's, you know, the good and the bad come in the same package, and they make up the whole person.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, one without the other, you know?
Right.
So balance, and looking at the situations, not to say the big bad word, but I'm just saying, what the situation is, that's it.
Yep.
And that needs to be said. And also the situation of looking at someone and going, who keeps constantly talking themselves out of it, is for you, if you want to. You know, I always say go with your intuition on this when you're actually talking to somebody, but don't let yourself get caught up and pulled into it. You know, the idea of leadership is the idea of saying, this is what I believe, this is what I think it should be all about. Even go to the point of saying, I don't think it anymore. I know for a fact this is what it is. I know for a fact I want to be with you, and therefore, why are you keep talking yourself out of it? Because you ain't telling me anything different. I already know all the traits. I already know you. I know you like the back of my hand.
Right.
So therefore, the situation, you keep reaffirming these things.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're hoping to touch on something to push me away. But in the same process of the situation, it's just like looking someone right in the eyes and saying, you know somebody? I saw who you really are. So if you're scared of me seeing that, I've already seen it. That's what makes me love you even more. I guarantee he'll be kind of speechless on that one.
Oh, yeah, he said he had me admit something one day, like, why don't you want me dating your friend? Look at me in the eye and tell me that you don't want me dating her because you like me. I'm like, Jay, I don't want you dating my friend because I want to be with you. You know, because he would always play like, oh, why don't you hook me up with your friends? You know, trying you know. And I looked at him dead straight in the eye and told him that, yeah, I don't want you dating her because I want to be with you. And he was, you know, that's when he was opening up and didn't really know what to say when I was honest.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm just saying, right now, all thing you can do right now is actions. Speak louder than words.
Yeah. Yes, true.
Mm-hmm. So, right now, if you want to stick around, I'm going to actually have it's one of Bree's friends who has a lot of insights into Atlantis, and you're more welcome to stick around and listen.
Yeah, sure.
So I've been kind of anxious to hear what he's got to say because it's one of my things, you know, Atlantis.
Yeah, definitely. I'll definitely listen.
Okay, so.
Thank you very much. You spent a lot of time listening to me, so.
Oh, you're welcome, man. I mean, it's like one of those situations. I would highly recommend that you get a reading from me on a private session. But like I tell everybody, just come up with something that is comfortable for you. My number's on the site, so just give me a call, and I'll be happy to work with you.
Okay.
All righty.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're welcome. Mm-hmm. Bye bye now.
Bye.
Bye bye. Let's see. So Bree, there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, is your friend still with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, Tyler. So why don't you let us have it? Your insights and all that studying that you've done.
Well, gee, I don't know really where to start. It's kind of a broad topic, don't you think?
Of course it is. But you know something with the situation at hand and that kind of stuff? It's just the idea of throwing it out there. And just, I mean, I always start with, it's just, I just start with something and it just kind of takes on a life of its own.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, personally, I think the biggest debacle and issue with Atlantis is where it is now.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, if you go into a history and you look at Plato's research and writings, his description of it is he says that in the night of a storm, Atlantis went up in smoke and flame. Now, maybe I'm crazy, but personally, I don't think that a tsunami and an earthquake creates smoke and flame.
No, but a war conflict with an alien race would probably fit the bill.
Yeah, I mean, at the time they did just fail trying to invade Athens, and they were trying to take over Africa at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I said, my thing is, And it might sound crazy for some people, but I just have a tendency to have a situation with, like you said before, I look at things too, and they just kind of hit me differently, and I get friends of certain things that happen. And it's the idea of looking at, okay, everybody keeps saying Atlantis was acting in the heyday of evading Athens and that kind of stuff. But I try to look at the situation. I keep getting, maybe Atlantis could be connected to it, but not solely responsible for those kind of some conflict. I saw a thing where I was telling a friend of mine, I was like, well, you look at the situation of Atlantis, they have a huge shipping port, they have all these gates and locks that actually surround the place itself and that kind of thing. You want to ask yourself, why would you go through such an elaborate thing of doing those kind of things?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you there. And, I mean, you know, the Atlanteans, from what history tells, were very warlike people. So maybe in a chance they were preparing themselves and foresaw the failure of their own invasions is my personal take on that.
Okay. All I can say is from the visions I've picked up on, Atlantis was the most peaceful place I ever lived, and ever, one of the most lifetimes. So I feel like what we have here is like a lot of things with history, like Troy. You know, people really had a problem with Troy because everybody thought it was a myth too, until someone actually found the city itself and actually realized that the city of Troy was not just built once or twice or three times. It was built many times because it was many levels of that city. And they had, back in those days, they just rebuilt over top of whatever was torn down, whatever burned down or whatever it was. They just built over top of it and just keep doing the thing. They felt good and secure about certain places for some reason. So they would just keep rebuilding and rebuilding and rebuilding. The vision I saw was Atlantis. They had a big, this huge ship port. That if everybody ever seen New York Harbor, and all this, the elaborate parts about that whole thing, you kind of got to like just imagine something 10 times bigger. And then we have these pictures and stuff of bridges going off to this, going off the island itself. And you're trying to figure out, okay, you have all these locks and waterways the ships get to come in from time to time, okay, which is protecting the palace. But the palace was not just a place of, how would you put this? It was just a palace. It wasn't like when we see things in Egypt, how we just, you know, the buildings and that kind of stuff and that kind of, there was like a try to get this word out. It's like, look at the situations. Everybody ever saw Resident Evil?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now imagine we go to the palace, and we have this elaborate structure just like that under the ground. Okay, when you start to look at these situations like that, and I see all this stuff going on, you ask yourself, why did they leave? Even the idea of destruction and destroying and that kind of stuff, the idea of looking at things and actually honoring this, because they've actually found these huge crystals in Bermuda and also Mexico. These crystals are the size of trees. Now, the one thing about scientists said there for a long time that Atlantis could not have the kind of technology they had because they just couldn't imagine those crystals being that you find having crystals like that to even use. And now we have just, in this last year, we have actually found two caverns with those huge kind of crystals in, and one's in Bermuda, which is actually close to where everybody says Atlantis existed. Now, what I saw, it was just the idea of blowing my mind of some of these visions I saw of mass meditations, and as the visions go on, we have an intersection of two warlike alien races that come here. One was called the Reptilians, and one was called the Centillians, I think it was. Anyway, they came in here, loved the idea of what Atlantis had, and wanted it for themselves. So it's the idea of intersecting, and it's like, I mean, I don't know if anybody ever watched Star Trek, but there's also a warlike race on there too. I can't remember what they call them, but to me, the Reptilians look just like these dudes. And I think they're actually Centillians too, I think. Anyway, when I saw those people in Star Trek, I was freaking out going, because the idea of actually looking at these things as existing, I think sometimes when people are tapping into and being creative with situations or creating these shows, what they're actually tapping into is past memories and bringing them to the forefront. Okay, so so we have all this stuff going on, and then in the process of Atlantis being destroyed, Actually, I've done past life readings with a lot of people who have actually left Atlantis before it even before anything happened because they were tired of these two alien races that came in and just wanted to basically take control of the whole thing. And Atlantis actually had three falls, some people call them falls, some people call them just progressions. We've also heard about the Lemurians. Lemurians were actually Atlanteans before they were Atlanteans. And the idea, we also have to understand one thing about Atlantis and the way it works and that kind of stuff. Atlantis in itself could be basically the name of a continent, because I've actually read this a lot of places where I say lost city of Atlantis, the lost continent of Atlantis, and you kind of like want to look at yourself going, well, which one is it? So I'm thinking, like a lot of things we have out there, like China, huge China, it's actually a continent, but people also look at it as a civilization, Chinese, China. So when you look at those kind of situations and that kind of going, then it kind of takes on a format of its own. That we have a huge continent called Atlantis, and then we have a city named Atlantis. But I personally think this continent they keep talking about between North America and South Africa?
Yeah.
I think the continent itself existed, but the Atlantis that we're all talking about, I still feel like was in the Mediterranean. It was where Crates is at. And if you look at Crates was destroyed by a major volcano. And we're talking about the city. Okay? Now, when you look at the idea of Atlantis, this big continent and Atlantis being connected, they could definitely happen too as well. I feel like those are definitely connections there, but it also gives you an idea. Like, it's like the Roman Empire. We have Rome itself, but the Roman Empire stretches out over thousands and thousands of miles. And so, like you were talking about before, about people who are centered going, I think I found Atlantis in China. I think I found Atlantis in Iceland. I think I found Atlantis in the Gulf of Mexico. Me and Bree was actually looking the other day, and we saw different variations of people thinking about continent shifting and that kind of stuff, where actually down where the Gulf of Mexico was actually a lake at one time because of the land masses being and the water levels being a little bit lower. And if you've ever been to Florida and places like that, the water levels are still pretty low. The idea of walking out great distances in the ocean, that kind of stuff, kind of gives you an idea that could possibly do too. And then we have that land mass where actually North America and South America were actually almost continuous. It wasn't like a little tippy thing that we got on the maps and stuff. It goes down and stuff like that. It's like a big continent where you got Florida and California, and all the land mass actually goes straight down into South America. And then we have Gulf of Mexico as a lake. And then we had another map we saw where there's this big land mass in between North America and South Africa. And it's some people look at it as an island. Some people look at it as a huge continent. I actually see it more as a continent because some of the visions I've seen where you actually have between North America and this landmass, it looks like the English Channel. So it's not really that wide and that kind of stuff. It gives you an idea. Plus, if you ever look at some of the maps of the ocean in the Atlantic Ocean, there's a lot of, some people call them deep caverns or deep crevices in the earth. When if you actually look at them in a different way, if you take the water away, they're actually mountain ranges. So it gives you an idea, like looking at North America, when we have the Appalachian Mountains and the Rocky Mountains, look at a continent the same way, but instead of looking at ours, look at the one that would be the middle of Atlantis, or Atlantic, I'm sorry, Atlantic Ocean, of having mountain ranges like that and that kind of stuff. Not something flat. Everybody goes pictures of these things as flat, or it's either flat or an island. Why could it not be both? It's a situation of things floating back and forth, you know? We all have, to me, it's like a narrow-mindedness. It had to be one way or the other. I've actually thrown out a theory that the idea of Atlantis, of what we're actually seeing here, like in China and Japan and Iceland and down in Florida, are not just Atlantis in one place, but Atlantis across the globe. I mean, think about a civilization. Like I was telling people, if you watch the movie Atlantis, The Lost Empire that Disney did, I actually think you really get a really good glimpse of Atlantis and this crystal, this energy source. The vision I got was an energy source that was so powerful and so huge that it was actually conscious of itself. And the reason it was conscious of itself, it was the idea of Atlanteans taking crystal technology, harnessing positive mental energy, and combining the both of them, that you have an energy source which is based on human beings as in their positive state, working together, working as one to create energy source. That have, you know, like we're at the movie itself, you see the vehicles in there, they're powered off this crystal. Now, human concept puts a little thing, puts a whammy on the whole thing where they take a crystal and stick it in a hole and turn it. You got to put your hand on a pad. I'm sitting there going, I said, take your hand off the pad, take the key away, and look at the energy source. If it's a consciousness energy source, then basically all you have to do is tell it what to do. And if you put it in a vehicle and harness that kind of energy, then more or less you just get on the vehicle and go, I need to go so-and-so, and it shoots off there because of the of an energy source. And I don't know if anybody's ever seen that movie.
Yeah, I have.
Right. Well, if you look at the movie, when I first saw that movie, that's when the vision started coming to me. And I'm like, this is the closest thing that I've ever seen. It's close to the heyday of the whole thing of what happened to Atlantis and its situation. And we actually found some also pictures of certain pieces. What I freaked out when I saw these pictures, because it's actually the visions I've gotten with people I've done past life readings with who were actually in these outposts of Atlantis. One was in Iceland, one was near the between Florida and what is it, the Bahamas, right in that area. I also saw I also did some past readings for people who actually left Atlantis, who were actually motivated the Egyptians who are wandering the deserts, not doing anything. We like hanging out in the deserts and talking to our camels, and then next thing you know, they're actually sitting there making these, you know, building this great civilization, and you're just like kind of baffled, like, okay, they were wandering the desert, had no intentions of doing anything, and all of a sudden,
and then how all of a sudden did you come up with this?
Right, and if you also trace it back, the Mayas were the same way. There was a story about the Mayas where their seer told them that they were looking for a certain place to go, but they were wandering around too. So we have a connection here with psychic abilities and that kind of stuff where people are picking things up. We have a couple of civilizations here that are just wandering. And all of a sudden, they're not wandering anymore. And there's this technology, that's what I call it, that's intersecting in these cultures to motivate them to do these kind of things. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Taylor. It's just, like I said before, it's a very fascinating subject with me. First, when I get all these visions and I try to put them together, I actually have a friend of mine who wrote a book. And from the things I was picking up, it helped her. It helped her fill in the missing pieces. So,
well, yeah, and I mean, modern science has proven that a crystal is one of the greatest, I mean, memory stores ever. And I mean, it kind of goes along with the legend of the crystal skulls, as they say that crystal can hold millions of terabytes. And if anyone knows besides me is a computer nerd and knows a terabyte is like, I think it's 1,025 gigabytes, and the average hard drive for a computer is 250 to 500 gigabytes. So you have thing that can hold so much information and so much power in it that, I mean, if you look at it from a scientific perspective, it's 100% plausible.
No, all these things are possible if you take the money out of it and tell them to quit thinking about money and just go do it.
How much
does it cost to get a crystal?
I think
it's a lot. Well, it depends where you do it, which if you go about it. If you found, I was talking about these crystal caverns they found. If you just go into crystal and get you a nice little hacksaw and kick, you got a crystal. And so people bring those things out of there to put a price on it because what they had to go through to get it. Or what they felt like it was worth, to put it that way. But I was sitting there, saying the thing that you're talking about too. I told somebody, I said, you could take three crystals about the size of a kickball, and take maybe, I'm just thinking, what it came to me was like you could take three of these things, and maybe even only one of them, and you could store all the information that's in the Pentagon right now on one crystal. And people are going, what? I said, about all the room.
I mean,
actually, if you go back in World War II, and look at a computer back then, compared to the computers now, back that day, the computer that they were using, the military was using, actually was the size of a freaking building. And now the same kind of capacity actually sits on your desk. So like you said before, to sit there and say this doesn't exist and it's not possible, we've already done it. We just need to take it a step further. And aren't they kind of like some of the technology that we already have with some of the stones and crystals that we're using and stuff like that already are part of our computers and stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge buff for technology and everything, and there are, we have crystal formatted hard drives and everything like that, and then we have, what is it called? Oh, it's going to bug me until I can think of it, but it's this type of wiring that we have that is based on crystal reflection, and it can send information billions and billions of times faster than a copper wire can. I mean, it's just a matter of figuring out certain things to do with certain things. So it's 100% possible that you can use a crystal to store information, run power, do all these different things.
Yeah, I was going to say to you, Taylor, too, there's also, I read a call this the other day, there's a lady out there who actually reads crystals, and she's already found certain crystals that already have information in them to also back up the theory about Atlantis using crystals instead of all this other stuff. And I was sitting there telling a friend of mine, I was like, y'all think in the back of your freaking mind, technology. Oh, Atlantis had this great technology. But I'm sitting there going, but guys, take one thing away from the situation, or maybe a couple things. Take away television. Take away video games. Take away everything mentally you can think about to stimulate your mind. And then look at the situation. Take away phones, cell phones, and that kind of stuff. Because if you have a great civilization that has great ways of telepathic abilities, then you don't need phones to communicate. You don't need any kind of technology as we see it. Because if you sit here and look at the situation of the technology we have, it's pretty primitive because it actually has a tendency to burn itself out. In the process of using crystals, you can run some really intense energy through those things, and they have a tendency to absorb it instead of burn up. And they actually have a tendency to get stronger. So that was a kind of a thing I'm looking at. Because I have people sitting there, people talking about Atlantis and going, communication. I said, I don't see cell phones. Why don't I see cell phones? Don't need them. Everybody's talking telepathically. So you don't need all this
stuff. Well, yeah. I mean, like, look at different types of animals, and especially in, like, insects and arachnids, kind of. They have no form of language. They wave their antenna, and they're able to talk between each other and get hundreds and thousands of all these different insects working in a way as one to get what needs to be done done. And possibly, way back then, we didn't need phones and everything because we could, in a sense, do the same thing.
That's what I was saying to everybody. I said, you ever look at relationships and stuff when they're really going good? Those people hardly ever talk to each other. And I think a lot of what it is the idea of learning that people communicate on different levels and to open yourself to listen to it, because we have a lot of relationships and stuff. Well, he doesn't talk to me. Oh, he's been talking to you the whole time. You're not listening. Well, he never opens his mouth. You don't have to. You guys are connected. You know, it seems like once we seem to have no problem of always dwelling on that situation, saying we have a connection. We have a bond. But then when we get into the relationship, we forget to utilize those things. And that's, I think, if we look at Atlantean technology, because I was sitting here talking on this show about a lot of things where I'm sitting here going, I'm getting to the point right now that instead of going in the route of alien technology, I'm going through Atlantean technology, that these runways in Peru and these planes that we find in tombs and that kind of stuff, these are actually influences that Atlantis had on this planet way before we could even conceive in our minds, that these runways were actually Atlanteans working on their day of working on flight and that kind of stuff. And there was a guy, I think it was one of the Mayas, they show that picture where it looks like he's in a spacecraft. I'm sitting there going, give me a break. If you were an alien from another planet, would you have fire shooting out of your ass? No. You'd be hovering. So,
yeah, I mean, I know exactly what carving you're talking about, because before the show, I was talking to Bree about that.
Yeah, that to me, I said, look at this situation. I said, this guy said he came from a faraway country. He was about 7 to 8 feet tall, this king. And I just think he brought with him technology from Atlantis. And that he was a great leader because he could do certain things that they couldn't do. So they looked at him as a leader, as someone's going to lead him into another thing. And the ideal of these situations, I mean, shoot, seriously, if you're an alien from another planet, the technology just to get here does not involve any kind of flight that you see in these carvings and stuff, and the goggles and headgear and that kind of stuff. But it does resonate with me about a culture that was, you know, working with those things. They had their beginnings, their middles, and I guess they have their ends. But the reason I named the show Atlantis, is it real or was it real? Is the idea of I've been doing too much work and that kind of stuff of looking at these situations, and some of the pictures I've actually seen too, where it looks like there's these civilizations underneath the water, and they have a tendency to disappear. And when I saw this picture, which I had a tough time putting on here because it was actually looked the size of a stamp, and I don't think it can actually pop up on the page. But it had, I was, when I saw these these past life readings I did for these people, what I would always see is a gray civilization under the ocean with a great aqua blue force field over top of it, protecting it. And then this lady, somebody in the chat room said, why do they always build under the water? I said, well, the Atlanteans had this thing about working with one and one with nature, because they felt like that was the strongest way to work with. So see, the idea of warlike and that kind of stuff, working with that kind of technology and working with nature one and one, the idea of having that. Now, are you going to have a couple of people who might spin off the whole thing and create a havoc that might actually bring down a civilization? Well, yeah, we've seen that before in this lifetime of people in government and that kind of stuff bringing down a whole freaking community. Like Russia doesn't exist anymore. So, yeah, we see those things all the time, and we see the same thing here. But you have a mass of people who are not a part of that whole thing. And if you look at culture now, you see the same thing. You see people who are always warlike, and you see other people who are very peaceful-like. So it all, to me, falls into place and does exactly like it's doing, and it still does. It's just in different levels, and people do more verbal things anymore instead of mental. But I saw these civilizations, I saw these force fields, not once, but 5 and 6 times. So I felt like there's 5 and 6 of these places that still exist. And I was also doing some research with these scientists who, I found Atlantis. And then you never hear nothing from them again. It's almost like they really focus on this technology. They're focused on finding these places. All of a sudden they start getting close, and all of a sudden their minds go elsewhere, and they just kind of lose touch. They write a book, do the whole thing, and then you never hear nothing from them again. And I was thinking, if these people do still exist, and they had this advanced technology or these telepathic ways of doing things, couldn't they also do the same thing with people if they don't want you to find them? The power of suggestion in a telepathic way that these people, I've seen this like 5 or 6 times with these people. You know, you never hear nothing from them again. Or you do, but it's on a different level, and they're in a different direction, or they're working on something totally different, or they're in a dig in Alaska, you know, that kind of thing. You're going, okay, what happened to Atlantis? You were so passionate about it, all of a sudden, your mind goes somewhere else. Could that be a power suggestion of Atlanteans not want to be found? The reason I say that, because I had a vision that the government's had a Stargate program going on since 1914, which goes with the movie Stargate, because in the movie Stargate, it actually says they found a Stargate in 1914. And I was like, wow, cover-up time. Anyway, but I was sitting there going, the vision I saw was actually Atlanteans working with the government to actually work on this technology of actually finding this in the desert, which it wasn't Egyptian technology. It was actually Atlantean technology that was actually a barrier to throw people off, so therefore they couldn't find it, which, you know, our government has to be persistent, and they found it. But it doesn't exist, anybody, because I've actually seen 2 pictures that they said the spacecraft took that looked like they actually took them from that galaxy. Very clear pictures. And I said, I know this thing's powerful, but something, I guess it's just me with this telepathic way and that kind of stuff, and looking at this stuff and going, something just doesn't set with me, you know, that there's more to this. So, I mean, what do you think about that, Taylor?
Well, I kind of see what you're saying and everything, and something I'd like to kind of circle back is what you said is with the Atlanteans possibly helping out the Egyptians for Egyptian technology, is if you look at Egyptian carvings, mm-hmm. and you look close enough, if you look inside carvings inside temples, you see these little things, and they almost look like light bulbs.
Oh, yeah?
They look like light bulbs trying to light everything up, and now crystals are very good at converting light, is another thing they can do. So possibly that could be a crystal, because you get so far into all of those pyramids, if you go and you try to light a lighter, light a match, it's not going to light. There is not enough oxygen to have an open flame. Therefore, how are you supposed to get light in there to see what you're doing, what you're carving, how you're working? And course, you know,
No, I understand what you're saying completely, because actually, they were talking about that too, where they were saying you don't find any soot or anything like that, where somebody would back in those caves. Like you said, they're really far back in there too, no oxygen and that kind of stuff, how they do it. It's kind of amazing. Everybody always wants to look for a power source when we know for a fact we have lights and stuff right now that those glow sticks and all that kind of stuff, they exist. So, and we know for a fact that Egyptians had batteries.
Yeah, the Baghdad battery.
Yeah, so you're looking at those things going, you know, they had the knowledge of electricity. And the first thing I want to say is, how did they know about electricity? I mean, what was the thing that spawned that in that culture to even go there? To even kill that whole thing? I mean, we got Benjamin Franklin who did his little thing and that kind of stuff, but I think a lot of stuff started way before then. And we know for a fact that the Egyptians were really heavy into crystals, and we knew for a fact they were into energy and how to harness it and that kind of stuff too. And I wish I could remember this lady. She was actually, they were finding these crystals, and she said that she could actually look within these crystals and find all this information encrypted in these crystals that was actually proving the existence of Atlantis. And even people said over and over again, Atlantis has already been proven. We could also go that route too and say these scientists have found this and any other, and then the government comes into the whole thing and go, well, you're getting too close to the situation, and we're working with Atlanteans right now and that kind of stuff, and we're just not ready to divulge it to anybody. And it's one of those things with my vision I saw when they were working on the Stargate program was the idea of looking at it and saying, the Atlantean said, let's keep it to ourselves and focus, so therefore there's no outside influence, so we can focus on what we need to obtain here, you know, what our objective is. But you know how our government is. They took it as being secretive, and the Atlantean said, no, we're not saying it's being secretive. We're saying it's like spiritual work. When you're working on manifestations, it's best to work with yourself and don't tell anybody. So therefore, you have more of a chance of focusing your energy in the direction you want to go into without having to deal with anybody's negative energy, or maybe they have a different opinion. And that's what I feel like was going on here too. But you're right. I was sitting looking at those light bulbs too in the situation and saying, okay, they're saying, well, there's no energy source, there's no proof of it, as far as they want to tell us. There was also a show on television, too. They were talking about Jesse James, the existence of Jesse James who didn't die. He actually lived to be a very old man. And the reason I bring that one up is not to divert the whole thing. It's the ideal that on that show, on the Discovery Channel, they would not tell you the whole story, that these guys that were actually finding these cliff kings and that kind of stuff to this Jesse James was actually a part of this. The gang was more of a group. That was the Templars and their kind of culture where they would get together and they built this, that, and the other. But these guys came together because they were going to one day rise back up and be some kind of thing come out of the South. The South would rise up again and conquer all. And they had this, I guess you would say, organization, that kind of stuff. And they were trying to find these things and markings. And when they actually, I guess how it was put was, they would rob stagecoaches and that stuff, but what they were really doing was they were robbing them to get money to supply this organization. And the process of when they would do this, they would actually go into town and turn all this money and stuff into gold coins, put them in mason jars, and actually bury these things and have a map and that kind of stuff marking them so they could, the whole thing. And then plus it was supposed to be one big money thing that was also under the ground too, like a vault. And These guys were actually looking at this whole thing and that kind of stuff. He said, they also said, and I actually had the guy's number too, where I was going to have him on the show, where he said that what really happened in the situation is they actually sought out psychics and mediums and that kind of stuff to also work with. And they said when they went to put it on the Discovery Channel didn't want that kind of stuff brought into it. They wanted to keep that out. They wanted to exclude those kind of things. And just look at the idea, you know, saying, well, it's a lot of hard work and that kind of stuff. And these guys found these markings of Jesse James and his brother and the whole situation. They actually found, I think, at least two mason jars. So that backed up the theory, too. They found these mason jars. And this one mason jar, they actually found, I think, 20 gold pieces in it. And actually one was dating to 1882, which would put it about 2 years after Jesse James was supposed to be shot in the back of the head. So if Jesse James was behind this whole freaking thing of burying those mason jars, there was a guy, I can't remember his name, it was John Jamerson, Jesse James. They said this guy used to sit there and go, he never worked, but he would sit there and he lived all by himself. And there was actually this one guy, he's a descendant, he's like the great-great-grandson of this guy. When you take his picture and put it right next to Jesse James' picture, when he was young like that, they're almost... It's kind of a ghosty. I mean, it's just freaky. How uncanny it is. These guys look almost the same, almost identical. And this guy actually put the same kind of clothes on that Jesse James had. It's kind of freaky. You think you're looking at twins, twin brothers. And plus, the guy they were talking about, this old dude, his name was John Jamerson. And they said, this guy used to say, we need some money for this, this, and this. I'll be back in an hour. And he would always go off, and he would always come back with money. It was so freaky about the whole thing. But see, what I'm saying to you is, we see a lot of things on Discovery Channel, and the History Channel, and that kind of stuff. Sometimes when you watch, I'm just saying with me personally, when I look at these things, you're getting someone's opinions. So I like to sit there and look at the situations and say, okay, is there anything being left out? And I've already heard too many rumors of some things that just wasn't completely told about. Now, the History Channel seems to be a little bit different. They just throw everything out there for you and just say, you think about it. You resonate with this whole thing. What do you think about the situation? But I'm just saying with Atlantis and that kind of stuff, sometimes you just got to go with what you feel and let yourself go in that direction. And that's what I've done with these things, because I've actually done past lives for people. And this information comes up so freaking quick and it just blows like you would not believe. They're looking at people who was in a nice place that was underneath the ocean between Florida and the Bahamas. And then talking to a lady that used to live there, and they used to leave that place from time to time because they got sick of seaweed. And living off the land, they would actually go to the surrounding islands to get bananas and stuff.
Yeah, which we got? And
okay, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, man. I'm sorry, Taylor. I'm just, like I said before, it's a very fascinating thing for me, too, so.
If you look into history, it does not matter where you look, any civilization, practically any time period, there is always going to be itty-bitty little pieces, and sometimes major, like, you know, Atlantis, of things that nobody can prove. Nobody
mm-hmm.
knows exactly what happened. It's all opinionated. Like, I believe there's no such thing as unopinionated history. Everything you write, everything you do, has to have some sort of itty-bitty opinion.
Oh, we were sitting there talking about that, too. I saw this article in Archaeology magazine, where it says, you know, archaeology is also interpretation. From things you find, you interpret the way you want, you know, the person itself is interpreting these things, right? So it shows this picture, this guy, we found these major artifacts from this civilization and that kind of stuff, and it's very fascinating, we're putting all these pieces together, and we found this piece of royal garments that the royals used to wear and that kind of stuff, and we want to show it to you. And what it is, it's actually the guy's wearing a toilet seat around his neck, and little plungers, things on his ears and that kind of stuff, and you're just saying, you know, what they're saying is it's interpretation. Someone's looking at this going, they think it's a great garment of royalty, when most people look at it and say, looks like it's part of the bathroom. So, you know, you got that also going, too, with a lot of people who, they find pieces and that kind of stuff. I mean, I know there's a guideline that goes with the whole thing and that kind of stuff, but they were also talking about this thing. I was reading this the other day. I don't know if you've read any information about this, but they're talking about that the guy who found King Tut's tomb, supposedly he had this big ring from Atlantis that gave him directions on how to find these places. Have you ever heard about that?
I've heard something kind of like that, like...
the Great
Destiny's
Rings of Atlantis. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, or not Destiny, that's the wrong word. Crap, what am I trying to say? Kind of like a desire, like drive, like what you want to find, what you need to prove, it points you in the way of where something is or how to get somewhere. Something like that, you mean?
Okay. No, I understand what you're saying. It's a ring that reads your mind and actually then it directs you where you need to go.
Yeah.
When I saw this thing, it was almost like Xena. You know, I mean, if you ever Xena, have you ever seen that show, that series?
Yeah.
Okay, she has that ring, that thing that she throws.
Yeah.
That's what I see. Like he had this thing that he would hold on to. It would actually read the energy of your mind and then focus on that and then basically lead you in the direction to find this. And supposedly what happened was, in the process of, I can't remember the guy's name who actually found King Arthur. I mean, King... who actually...
King Arthur.
Hey, we found King Arthur. I actually have a story about that, too, but... not King Arthur. Oh, shoot, what was I going to say? Oh, the guy who found King Tut. Supposedly, in the process of his pursuits, he was trying to find it, and it was having problems, and with all the stuff that he had to find this, he knew approximately where it was. and really had a good idea about the whole situation. Well, in the process of his pursuits, yeah, I think he went through the Cairo Museum or something, and this was actually a part of an Egyptian exhibit, and had heard rumors, or I guess you would say myth about it, got it. I was actually part of the guy that, remember that dude that actually financed him? I gotta get these names.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, he was actually one of the people, the first people to die because of the supposed curse of King Tut. But helped him purchase that ring.
Yeah.
He bought the ring. In the process of, I want to sit here and say Harry or something. God, what is that guy's name? I can see his picture too. Anyway, he got this ring, and it's one of those things of connecting with people with high energy, and they say that he had a high energy. I mean, he was just very excited about the whole thing. It was just the idea of financing. Got the financing, got the ring, and then he knew exactly where to go. And it seems like not too soon after he got the financial backing again to go do this last thing, because he just knew for a fact he was going to find it. He knew exactly where to go, and this ring was basically like a compass to point him in the right direction. But also in the same situation, it could also create a force field around one person who was also very protected from all the elements and that kind of stuff going on too as well.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying there. And then, like, to go along with, like, the compass and everything is, like, what's the name of those movies? It's got Johnny Depp in it, some pirate movie. I can't remember the name of it.
Oh, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, he's got that compass that points him to his desire where he wants to go. So,
yes.
Like, my idea of all that is kind of, in a way, the ring is kind of something like that. Is it shows you where you want to go.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's a really cool thing, too. You look at the situation in hand, and I was just like, man, these things, it's kind of amazing how some of these things exist. But see what it is? It's just the ideal of, I guess when I look at it, it's like a ring, and the whole inside, it's like a metal piece on the outside, and then the inside is nothing but crystal.
Yeah.
That white crystal on the inside. And it's just basically realistically what it does. It actually taps into the energy of your body. And also, when I say energy, I mean your aura. The aura is actually an extension of the spirit. The spirit emits this energy outside the body, which actually protects the body itself. And when you really put a lot more energy into it, it's like having a force field around you. My God, I live on a dead-end street. Where are all these people coming from? I just want to look out the window and say, please, people, go home. I don't care. I've never been a person that said, oh, nice car, dude. No, I've been usually saying, go get a muffler, man.
oh, you'd hate my car.
I'm just saying, my thing is, I don't get mad at people. I just say, could you please manifest a muffler? And if you manifest it a muffler, it makes it louder. Oh, no. So, hey, it's Steve Thoreau. But see, if he lives in Montana, I'm okay with that because I'm not going to hear it. But
I'll find a way.
It's like this. If I'm in a situation where it's like, you know, hanging out, doing the whole kind of thing, I don't care. But I'm sitting here I've actually been sitting here a couple of times trying to do readings. And all of a sudden, town is like, we all go by Donnie's house.
They're your fans.
My fans, yeah. Okay, we'll go that route. I like fans, but, you know, help me out here. So we have no callers. They all kind of like,
That's weird.
So, yeah, so we'll just put it out there, guys. We still got an hour and 30 minutes left, so why don't you give us a call here at 646-721-9031 and just sit down and do some calls and take care of the situation and really have some fun, and we'll answer some questions for you, and we'll actually dedicate the last hour and a half just to that whole thing and answer your questions for you, and if you want to see if you're, that you, maybe you might have been Atlantean. You never know. It just seems like it really resonates in this whole situation. And also, guys, for the 10th caller, we're giving away a 60-minute reading. So, therefore, call in and do that. And to that, to me, is just a great show in itself to give away a 60-minute reading. So give us a call at 646-721-9031. Also, I do private readings, too, so give me a call at 740-601-1057 for a private reading. And actually, for people who call this show, it's only $65 for a 60-minute session and $45 for a half-an-hour session. And if you actually go to my website, which is www.psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com, you'll see that a 60-minute reading is actually $99 for everybody else. But for just calling the show, you get it for $65. And right now, you can actually get a sample of actually calling in here and see what it's all about and answer a couple questions for you and that kind of stuff. And we really don't rush people off the line. So, you know, especially with relationships, that takes more than just a yes or no answer and a little more insight. So give us a call in here at 646-721-9031. Also, I lost the information. It's here somewhere. I just saw it. Anyway. All right. I was looking for my information for my HemiSync CDs. It's amazing how that piece of paper just has a tendency to really walk away. Let's see. Here I go. I see it. Now, it's the idea of getting it. Anyway, let's get back to this whole thing here and go. If you want to check out some companies out there, guys, with some great meditational CDs, we got Brian. We got BrainSync. That's actually www.brainsync.com. They have some great subliminal CDs and that kind of stuff for attracting love, manifestation, and that kind of stuff. And if you want to check those out, those are very nice, reasonable price CDs. Plus, also you can go on the site itself and you can actually get some MP3 downloads for almost half the price of the original price of buying the CD. If you want to give them a call and check it out, it's actually 1-800-444-SYNC, S-Y-N-C, or 1-800-444-7962. If you want to just call them straight through, that number is 541-488-7870. But if you want to check them out on the internet, like I said before, it's www.brainsync.com. And my favorite CDs, and I actually like those too, but I'm just saying my favorite CDs are called HemiSync CDs. HemiSync CDs are what they are. They're not subliminal CDs. What they are is actually there's a tone underneath music that actually sets off when the brain hears it. It actually helps the brain, both sides, both hemispheres to work together. By them both working together gives you intense focus and concentration. It also has a great positive effect on the body where it actually helps you utilize and the body works as a unit, which a lot of times we have a tendency to favor the right or the left. And what this does is it actually enables you to work both sides. I've actually caught my right hand and my left hand working at the same time but doing two different tasks at the same time. So you're able to accomplish more things, and the multitasking thing actually takes on a different level. If you want to check those things out, you go to the website is www.hemi, that's H-E-M-I, dash, sync, S-Y-N-C, .com. Or you can give them a call at 1-800-541-2488. That number again is 1-800-541-2488. Or you can call them straight through at 434-263-8692. But check them out. They got samplers and all kinds of stuff, so you can really check these things out on the internet. And I always check them out too. And we always have like a little variation of a commercial where the guy is playing a Hemi CD in his house, and the guy walks in and said, "Ooh, is that a Hemi?" And he goes, "Yeah." And he goes, "Sweet. Okay, cool." So let's go with the rest of the show and get you some of those HemiSync CDs and check those things out, because we're always talking about meditation and grounding. And actually, I have a HemiSync CD right now that's called Chakra Journey. It actually has 7 tracks for your chakras, but it also has an 8th track just for grounding. That's a very important thing to do when it comes to this kind of work or any kind of focus and manifestations, is the idea of grounding. So try to check that out too as well. So let's take a deep breath on that one.
Well, Tyler, did you say you have to leave?
Yeah, I should probably get going about now, huh?
Yeah, you probably, so you don't get in trouble.
Don't get in trouble. So, Taylor, how old are you?
I'm 15.
Whoa. Are we allowed to have those kind of people on the show? Anyway, don't worry about it. I've actually, there's a girl I'm trying to have back on the show. Her name's Coral, and she's a very talented psychic girl. She's 11 years old, and she's been here once or twice. And we also had brother on. We had her brother on too. He was 9. He hears spirits. And so, Coral's a very gifted dreamer. Yeah, so it was wild. So, but thank you again, Tyler, for being here. It was very insightful. And if you ever want to come back and I'm just saying, throw it out there and that kind of stuff, and give me your opinions about anything you want to on Tuesdays, because we're always here to talk Atlantis and anything that goes along with it. Because, like you said before, realistically, we can trace almost anything and everything back to origins from Atlantis. We actually had a couple of shows on Bigfoot and Sasquatch, and those things, of actually tracing these things back, of actually Atlanteans and everybody living as one. Because people have to realize this. I mean, how long was Atlantis actually around? I think you guys will be amazed.
Say somewhere around 380 BC.
Yeah. So, you know, that the idea of seeing Atlantean movies where they're always talking about these people living for long periods of time, that's because of where they originated from. And the ideal crystal can also be very healing in itself. The ideal of youth doesn't surprise me any with the situation. So, I mean, if you could constantly keep healing yourself over and over again, physically, mentally, and emotionally, and those kind of things, by using crystals and that kind of stuff, you wouldn't age. So that's the next show. So, but thanks again for being here. I understand you got to go and that kind of stuff, but it was a pleasure.
No problem. It was fun being on here.
No problem.
Yeah, thanks, Tyler.
Yeah, if you get a chance, just drop back in. Love to sit here and just chat about this whole thing and take about an hour, and you can tell us anything and everything you want to know, because I feel like I kind of got carried away here, and you have a lot more you could have shared with us, so forgive me on that one. But if you want, you know, like I said, if you got to go, no problem, but definitely drop in next Tuesday if you can.
All right, I'll see what I can do.
All right, cool.
Awesome.
All right, well, thanks for having me on.
All right. We'll talk to you guys. We'll talk to you later.
Alrighty.
Thanks again. Good luck. Whoa.
Wow, he was just amazing.
Yeah, isn't it?
I need to go back to school.
Well, just hang out with us. So I noticed we have a caller on the line.
Yeah. Yep.
So maybe we should bring her on. What do you think?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Click the old button and say, okay, is it going to work this time?
Hello.
All right. Oh, wow. Hello?
Hello.
How's it going?
Good.
Is this
just
first time caller?
No, not at all. I'm sorry. It's just Char, but somebody said something in chat, and I know that you don't check the chat all that much, so I thought I would bring it to you to talk about.
Okay.
Wisdom Keeper says, those of us that have incarnated during this period of life on Earth are incarnated in Atlanteans. There is a link to Atlantis with all of us. And I said, how do you know this? And he said, I have observed this during my readings with others. You can psychically see the link. So
right.
That's... I just wanted to bring that up, and you can talk about it, and I can go. I just was curious what you had to say.
Oh, the idea of connection and stuff? Yeah, I can almost trace a lot of connections with a lot of people, but a lot of people are not just... some people are actually past lives with Atlantis, and there's other people who are actually descendants of Atlanteans themselves. So there's a trace there, too, on both like two levels, at least.
So how do you know?
Well, there's a lot of people who just instinctively know everything. Where they have that feeling about life itself. Where they feel like they come from somewhere. I mean, me personally, I've never really had anybody tell me. It was just something that came over me and said, you know something? Interesting. That I picked up visions about this, that, and the other. And it was just... when you sit there and focus and stuff, and I saw things and this, that, and the other, and just the idea of being able to work with a lot of things and when I focus on healing and that kind of stuff, I can actually feel the heat in my hands rise about at least 10 degrees. And as I focus more on that kind of stuff, I've actually healed a broken tooth and things like that. I healed an ex-fiance who I felt like that night she was going to die because of taking a drug overdose or something. And then, yeah, that was an intense one. I actually slept for 2 days after that. But I'm just saying with the situations, when you go over those things, you just have a tendency to follow through with things, and you don't question it. You just do it. And it's like we did a show on Khufu. It was actually the first person that was supposed to be the one who built the Great Pyramid, and I always felt like he was actually one of the last Atlanteans, one of the last, you know, Atlanteans, who actually, from the story I read, was an incredible story how he even came into power, where he actually had a dream that he would, because he wasn't a part of, if I'm not mistaken, if I got the right story, which I think I do, and I think it's one, a lot of things have been misinterpreted, but I just feel like he wasn't of royal blood, but he still became a pharaoh. Okay, now when you look at the situation, sometimes I look at the situations and trace them back to the point saying, well, the ideal royal blood and Egyptian blood was just the difference between being Atlantean and Egyptian. So you could look at Khufu as being one of the original descendants of Atlantean, who was actually one of the six that came to Egypt that motivated them to go and build this great kingdom. The first, the third, the first, the second, the third, which we've actually, a couple of books out there that actually talk about the three falls of Atlantis. And then we have three kingdoms in Egyptian. So it's kind of, there's just too many coincidences, as people call them. And I just look at them and saying, I call it influence.
Okay, I just wanted to see what you had to say. I'll let you go now.
You have any other questions you want to sit or tell us or anything like that? There's a big long list, isn't there?
Okay, I'll just throw one out there for you because I've been dying to know. When am I going to quit smoking? And don't say when you throw the cigarettes away.
No, it's more or less when you really, really want to quit smoking. It's the ideal sitting down and asking yourself. The craving is something that you need to take care of. How do you deal with cravings? A lot of people have them all the time, but they have a tendency to divert them and replace them with something else that's actually more helpful.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's gonna affect my job.
I had a girlfriend who I helped her stop smoking, but it wasn't what you call a traditional sense. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, it was actually every time she would want to smoke a cigarette, we had sex.
Oh, Christ! No.
So she.
That
so she
isn't gonna work.
So she had some really good abs. So.
Oh my God! No, that isn't gonna work.
Okay. I'm just saying, you know, you place something that's unhealthy with something that's healthy. So it's like when you want to stop smoking, or say you want to smoke a cigarette, at that time you think about your breathing. Take a deep breath. And just go, do I really need a cigarette? Take a walk. Actually, this could be one of the situations that could actually help you with two things that you want to take care of. Taking a walk every time you smoke, it's a lot of walking. But eventually, you get healthier. In the process of getting healthier, you get more stronger. So therefore, you don't let these cravings control you. You control them.
Okay, I will listen to you this time.
Okay. It's one of those situations that has to be on an individual basis. What's more important for the individual, not the masses. And see, right now people are trying to detail the masses because they want to what? Make money. Is it really about their health? Because the idea of having someone chew on a nicotine gum, we know nicotine's not good for us. And we try to decrease the whole thing. People think, and people are sitting going, you know, going cold turkey, it can really hurt you. Well, smoking can too. But I'd rather go cold turkey and got freaked out going, oh, I'm getting, you know, instead of having smoking and then feeling guilty for the whole thing and then smoke another cigarette.
Yeah.
So it's the ideal. Doctors, I like doctors. But my own personal life, I don't choose to go to them. Wow, did you see how I did that? Is someone going to sue me for saying something nice about a doctor and saying I just don't choose to go to them?
Well, Bree, I should have tried to quit smoking like, 3 months ago. I'd have been done smoking in 2 days if that was the way it was, huh, Bree?
Holy cow, what are we hearing?
Sorry, I don't think I would have ever touched another cigarette. If we tried your non-traditional method, I'd be like, I don't need that cigarette. I will let you go. I'm sorry. You just said you had no caller, so.
Yeah, so where are you going?
You still don't have any?
I'm not going to say anything.
Oh. Okay.
So let Sentry go. Think about it. You should go to this place where you can get some screensavers. They have this little section that says skins and I don't know how to pronounce this. I think I know how to. Cursors, I think it is. C-U-R-S-O-R-S. S. Cursors.
Skins.
And curses.
Curses.
That little strip that you have at the top of your screen when you're on the computer, there's a little strip up there that says search and Google and search and wallpaper and that kind of stuff and all those little things you got, those icons. What do you call this? These task bars. Well, you can get these little skin things that can actually put little things up in there. Instead of just having a really flat color, you can find these skins, they call them, to click up inside there. And it changes those things. You can have fairies and whatever. What I started doing was the idea of focusing on money, right? Getting our focus on a certain thing. So I found a skin that's actually got $100 bills all across the top. And so we got the thing going on. And every time I focus, I said, today I'm going to go work on my site and I'm going to be blessed with a $400 income today. And I look up at my freaking new moon check and go, paid in full. And I just leave it alone. Yes, Bree. Last night I was talking to her on the phone. Next thing I know, the phone was ringing and ringing and ringing.
Yep, it was. That's cool.
Heck yeah.
I'll have to go check it out and see what I can find.
Well, I'm just saying, you can use all kinds of different ways of looking at the whole thing going, today I quit smoking. Go look at your moon check and go, paid in full. Done deal.
Well, I'm not even going to say I'll try, because you'll say trying doesn't work or something like that. I will do that.
Get your big spiritual eraser and go, what? What was that word again? Okay.
Well, okay. So tomorrow in class, when they say, let's go out and have a smoke, I don't go, I'm quitting, but, oh, come on, you can do it.
Let's go have a smoke, and she said, we're going to go hang out with the Indians, you know. We're just sending smoke signals to other people to quit smoking, too.
Well, it's probably not productive to work in a nursing home smelling like smoke. It's just not just that, but my health and lifting people. And would you want me to get near you to move you to a chair if I smell like smoke?
if my leg was broken and the bone was hanging out, I don't think I would think about that. I think I would say, there's a nice person who smells like smoke who's helping me out, thank God. So.
You can ask Bree. I get kind of psychotic when I try to quit smoking. I go over the top. Huh, Bree?
Well, other things, too, that you don't do. There's other things that you don't do on top of it.
Like what?
Well, I'm not going to say on air.
Oh, like bad behaviors? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, the reason why you have your bad behaviors.
No, I'm not going to harm myself. I made a pact with myself. I'll just get real pacey. And I've wanted to ask Donnie, and I finally asked, and
today.
I emailed him and said I will listen to you. So as soon as this pack is done... How's that for an excuse?
Pack of cigarettes.
Yes. my
life. In one of those situations, can you really do it? Then do
it. I don't
know. Oh, no. That's that word. That's a freaking phrase again. I don't know. So I want to sit there and say, hey, guys, give us a call in here at 646-721-9031 and give Charlotte here a boost, a kick in the pants. Really say, hey, give her, I mean, it's like calling in right now and giving us your accounts of when you quit smoking and how you did it and the whole thing, and maybe give her some motivation on how she can sit there and go from trying to actually saying, I can, this is a done deal. I don't need this anymore, and I'm done. And also, we're doing readings today, too, so if you want to get a couple questions answered, too, give us a call at 646-721-9031. I'm Psychic X Journeyman. This is Psychic X Journeyman Talk Radio Show, so join us. We still have an hour and 9 minutes to go, and we're feeling kind of lonely, so come on and join us and just join the party and have a great time. And if you have any questions about Atlantis, past lives, want a couple cards from the angel cards, I actually have been getting pretty good at the one card readings, lasting about 15 minutes, so give us a call on that too as well. Like I said before, the number here is 646-721-9031. Also, I forgot to mention at the beginning of the show that we're actually having this thing for whoever donates the most money to this show this month, you will win 4 HemiSync CDs. And if you actually go on the site of HemiSync CDs, you actually can get 4 CDs for the price of 3. And they're pretty intense and pretty powerful, so therefore we're giving away 4 of those, which I think is like a value of almost like $100. So give us a call. Donate to the show. Donate to the Colorado Fund. Help me get home. Donate to the show. Help us support the show. Help us keep things going, that kind of stuff, so we can stay here as long as we can, so we keep bringing subjects like this to you and that kind of thing. So donate. And for whoever donates, whoever donates the most this month will get that HemiSync CDs. So give us a call at 740-601-1057 or go to my website, which is www.psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com, which is actually the easiest way to go anyway because the donation button is right at the top of the page. Can't miss it. Gives you a little insights on what we do and that kind of stuff, who I am, that kind of thing. So check it out. Simple. And for all the people who have donated, thank you so much, and keep on listening. And like I always say, give love where love is given. And like I said, we have an hour left in the show, actually an hour and 7 minutes. It's now 9:52 p.m. Eastern. This is April 19th, 2011. I'm Psychic X Journey Man, so come join us. Anyway, Char, love.
Thank you very much.
No problem, man, but you know, if you have any more questions, just shoot them out there, because it's like people sitting there talking about this, that, and the other, and you know, we could actually sit here and shuffle a card for you and give you one for the day.
Okay.
So, and anybody in the chat room has any questions, Bree?
Nope.
All right. I don't know why it's all right, but okay. All right. So, Charlotte, I'm going to start shuffling the cards. All I need you to do is tell me when to stop and if you want to cut the deck or not.
Stop.
Okay.
And I don't need to cut the deck.
All right, cool. Okay, the idea of the card is the top one is actually dreams. Dreams. I was actually trying to find the book. I had a booklet on all this stuff. For some reason, I just can't. Never had such a hard time finding stuff. Okay. All right. Could have swore I seen him. Oh, anyway, the dreams is the idea of focusing on dreams. It's also paying attention to your dreams as they focus something up to you. So your angels and your guides talk to you.
Okay.
When we look at the card, it's the idea of focusing on how you feel with the situation, the way it goes. The card itself has a light above in the background, which is like in the middle of the scenery itself. This is the idea of angels and guides that are with you. It also shows the focus and being grateful for things that you have in your life as well. could be as simply as shelter over your head, a roof on, you know, roof over your head kind of stuff. Those are the things to be grateful for, too, as well. But it also says that with the dreams and that kind of stuff, of paying attention to what you should put in your environment. Putting your, what we should do in this card here is basically the idea of focusing and relaxing and just remembering your dreams, because I just feel like a lot of information comes through those to enlighten a lot of things that are going on in your life and what direction to go into. But it also shows a lot of browns and dark colors, which actually the idea of focusing on more grounding. And getting, when I say to talk about balance, I'm talking about a lot of things that kind of like, in the process of really focusing on these things, can cancel out doctors altogether. Because it's the idea of focusing, because a lot of, I've always seen ailments in people's bodies on any kind of level, even chemical imbalances and that kind of stuff. It's, look at the word balance. It says unbalance, which means if you balance them out, then they kind of correct themselves. The body's been known to do that for thousands of years of healing itself. It's just the idea of knowing how to intentionally focus and put your energy in that kind of situation. Okay, because this, hey, like, this picture here just shows that the person, it's in a, it's like comfort. You know, the bedroom should always have comforting things around it and that kind of thing. What makes you feel secure, comfortable, warm, and just the ideal of a soft atmosphere. This is almost like a suggestion of flowers, fresh flowers, on a daily basis.
Okay.
Interaction with nature. Muppy says the same thing.
Hello, Muppy. I love you.
We actually have a caller on the line.
Then I will let you go. Goodbye.
Bye. You have a great night. Follow this. Follow the guidance.
Okay, I will. Bye.
Bye-bye now. I missed. I never miss. Okay. Okay, Eric. Eric code 732. Hi, how are you? Welcome to the show.
I'm fine, and you?
I'm doing fine. If you could just speak up just a little bit so I can actually hear you. I love it.
Hold on. Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah, there you go. Oh, say hello to Bree, too. Say hello to Bree.
Hi, Bree. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm great.
So, what's your name? I'm sorry.
My name is Princess.
Your name is Princess?
Yes, and it's my real name.
Okay. So, did your dad name you?
Yeah, my dad named me.
Mm-hmm. So, how can we help you tonight, Princess?
Well, me and my... I don't know what to call it right now. We're not talking and sleeping separately. And I want to know when it's going to, like, smooth out.
When is it going to smooth out?
Yeah.
When is your birthday?
August 13th, 75.
August 1st?
13th.
Oh, I'm sorry, 13th?
Uh-huh.
So you are a Leo.
Yep.
And the person in question that we're talking about, their name?
Warwick, Warwick. October 25th.
October 25th?
1974.
Oh, my gosh. Let's see... Muffler. I'm sorry. That's what popped in my head. Got to need some muffler. October 24th, he's a Scorpio.
Mm-hmm.
And, hold on for a second. I got to shut the window because I can't hear a freaking thing. Okay, well, the situation I feel like with you and Warren, the situation I keep getting over and over in my head is the idea of when is it going to ever smooth out? And the word came to me was never. It seems like the situation we have here is a guy who's, the word I get is highly sexual too as well. Has a tendency to make decisions accordingly too as well. And it's one of those things of being, getting balance, getting balance around his sacral chakra, which is actually the one, we have a we have seven chakras. We have one at the base of the spine. We have one, which would, on a male, would be around the testicles, which is the sacral chakra, which is the one that's in charge of wants and desires, okay? The ideal of being over-sexual, the idea of wanting and desiring and that kind of stuff seems to be a little bit off balance. It's not completely off tippy-tops. It's the idea of balancing it out to get it back up to where it's vibrating as a very bright orange. Right now, he's like in a between, like a yellow and an orange. So it's like a little bit off, okay? So he, when you see that whole thing, the way it sits right now and the kind of thing that he... I almost get the impression he has a hard time believing in anything. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, so it's the idea of sitting down and telling him this, but I just feel like he's not going to take it seriously. I wish people would take a lot of this stuff a whole lot more seriously, because physical stuff and doctors, the medicines and that kind of stuff, if you really look at these things, really all they are is like a Band-Aid.
True.
Yeah. You know, so when you sit and look at the situation of spirituality and you start looking at all these people out there who seem to be happy with smiles on their faces, they've taken a different approach. I can't really understand why people can't look at those good examples, because the idea of the medical field right now is really getting whacked out of all of the imbalance of people are more focusing on money and concentration of how much more I can make. Can we really justify a doctor making $80,000 off of one operation? Makes you wonder.
You're so right. He's concentrating on money right now.
Yeah. Exactly. The what desires are off balance, because it's like when I sit here and say off balance, it's more focusing on materialistic things. And when I sit here and say sex to solve a problem is a physical thing. It's the ideal of intimacy. To me, intimacy is the ideal of opening up to somebody and telling each other about your most intimate things about each other, on what kind of level that is. And looking at as a physical thing, it's just a way of expressing what already exists between two people, which is the love and that kind of stuff. So if you really look at the situation, the man really has a lot of work to be done on himself. And the first part about this kind of work is you can tell people until you're blue in the face, until they're willing to take that information and do something with it. And then you look at the situation going, God, you just want to smack him. And I don't smack anybody.
Perfect.
Huh?
He thinks he's perfect.
Of course he does, because he's not willing to go look inside. That's a freaky, scary place to go right now. So on the surface...
I tell him he needs therapy.
He needs a lot of... What he needs to really do is he needs to... What would really set the whole thing off? Because right... Me, personally, from what I've experienced, therapy sucks. Because you got somebody who's sitting there writing something, going... And you're like... You get this really strong feeling that the guy's not even listening. Whoever it is, they're just sitting there writing notes. I mean, maybe he's writing a letter to his girlfriend or something. I don't know. Anyway, I've been in these situations where I'm sitting there going, Doc, I'm having sex with this alien from Planet X. And he goes, okay, sounds good. I'm sitting there going, this guy ain't listening. Doc, I just saw your receptionist in the front. She's a cute little chihuahua, and she got great, great penmanship. He goes, sounds great. So I'm like, so what he really needs to do is he needs to start listening to the guidance and what's going on around him, which is really kicking up, and really on the surface, he might be Mr. Perfect, but underneath, there's a lot of conflict going on, because if there wasn't, why would this guy be so scared to death of commitment?
Getting hurt.
Well, then he's not Mr. Perfect, is he? Because he knows for a fact that the only way we learn in this world is the ideal things we go through, which has a little bit of hurt to go with it. And if you're going to sit there and walk around going, I never want to get hurt again, then move to Planet X or Planet Mars or wherever they don't have people. But on this forget somebody's birthday and hurt them. Is that an intentional hurt? No, but it happens. Okay? So those are the things that happen, and it's part of this life and something going on. But if you start listening to your angels and your guides, you can surpass a lot of those things, and you can have a perfect life as he looks at it. But the way he's doing it right now,
mm-hmm.
that is definitely a contradiction. I'd be in a situation looking right in the face and going, you're Mr. Perfect? If you're perfect, then why do you have such a hard time with commitment? And if you sit here and say one thing, that proves my point.
That was really not in my young speaking terms for the last, since February the 15th.
Mm-hmm.
We're not even on speaking terms, so if he's intimate, he's not intimate with me.
I'm just saying, sweetie, the idea of having sex with somebody and, pardon the French, banging the hell out of somebody is not intimacy, you know? I'm just saying, when you got some girl's legs bent behind her neck, is that love? Or is that just lust right there in that minute, okay?
It's just lust.
Yeah, so we have to look at it for what it is.
Yeah, intimacy is supposed to be a lot more than just sex.
Yeah, that's what I was saying before. Intimacy is, to me, is when you open up to somebody, because that's a very,
yep.
you know, it's an intimate part of yourself that you keep to yourself, and you're waiting for the right person to come along that you can trust to give it to that person.
Mm-hmm.
And then, in the process of having those kind of things, am I saying that we don't have that freaking, you know, just ally, you know, sex? I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of things that happen in a relationship, but more than likely, probably 85% of the time, we call it making love and expressing each other in a physical way. But that's
mm-hmm.
not what I see here. I see this as an extension of my commitment issues where I can have sex and then I'm on to the next person. Some people might look at this situation and go, because I've had a hard time with this situation where people go, that girl's a slut because she basically has sex with everybody. I'm sort of going, you know, it's amazing. If she was a guy, she'd be a stud.
Yeah.
So what's the freaking difference? You know, it's the idea of the girl likes sex, so does he, that kind of thing. It's just the idea of actually going out and finding somebody who's in the same level, so therefore it's classified, I can stay with one person. Is it impossible? No, it's not impossible. It's one of those things that I welcome all the time, of being just with one person to share my life with. That's the whole point, share my life with, not something that I have to have. It's something that I'm in a part of my life right now where I want to have that right now so I can share it with somebody. This guy here is looking at the situation as taking away from Mr. Perfect is the ideal of giving yourself to one, giving, as he puts it, giving yourself away to somebody. I call it giving yourself to someone and becoming something, becoming a part of something special, which he could really have here if he took the blinders off and see it for what it was.
That's a funny thing. He knows what I am and knows what I'm about. But I don't understand.
It's, I do. It's called, I am so scared to death of this woman because it might just actually work. Oh, yeah, that's scary. So that's crazy in itself, isn't it? A guy here who's been looking for this kind of relationship, this kind of woman, and now he's talking himself out of it.
Yep.
So it's the ideal, how can you make this beacon any brighter than what it already is to be a place where he'd want to go to. I mean, we can do the reverse psychology. It's definitely one of those things that in the process of you focusing and clearing your chakras and opening up the situation of actually seeing it, so that when your intuition kicks in, that you can know which way to go with this situation. Because I've had a lady come back to me and said, you know, the guy came to me and said he didn't want a relationship with me. I looked him right in the back of the face and looked him right back in the face and said, you know something, me too. It's crazy. Thank you. For stopping me from going there. What was I thinking? And all of a sudden the guy looked at me and goes, okay, that's not what I really want. I just realized it by saying that stupid stuff. And then they got committed. It was just the idea of taking something away that he really wanted and say, okay, you're right. What was I thinking? And walk it off. And watching him, you know, say, I don't want to be with you, but he won't stop following you. You
that's
see, because the card I picked for you is the idea of focusing on your dreams and focusing on you. In the process of focusing on you, and that's what it says here, a lot of reflection back to you, that he reflects to you, is the ideal that he focuses all his attention on himself, but on a surface level. So when you sort of look at that situation, it says you don't focus enough on yourself and give yourself credit enough for who you are. So it's just an ideal stepping back and you going inside and just confirming, yes, exactly what it is. That's who I am. Which he's scared of doing that, but I feel like you've actually seen this man. And that's another thing, too. He keeps himself in bed because he's scared you're going to see the real him and not like him anymore. What's so funny about that whole thing is you already have. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You already have seen him, and that's what you need to tell him. If you're trying to hide from me and pull away because you're scared I'll see who the real person is, that's what makes me love you even more. So write that down.
I know the real him years now, and it's that part of him is like two different people. He has, is like when he's angry, he's so evil and nasty things come out of his mouth. I can't believe it. It's like multiple personalities.
Multi-personalities? This is a guy who has he's a multi-face person. He has a different face for everybody.
He does the thing. He just relocated to this new state. And he relocated in December. I came like 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so now we're speaking separately. We always talk. So that's kind of difficult, that part.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we didn't talk at all, because in the past when anything happened, I was the one that's crying or running to him, and I figured this time I'm not doing it.
Well, like I said before, I don't think the idea of smoothing out, but see, I'm seeing it from right now. I feel like a lot of things could change. It could change that whole format, but right now, the way I look at it, just seeing, you know, when's it going to smooth out? That really depends on him, and right now, the way things look, I'm trying to intersect anything in there to help him to see the real what's going on. That's challenging.
Mm-hmm. He's all about business right now. Business. He needs money to pick up his business that he has on the side.
His money's already been picking up, and it's going to keep continuing doing so, where he's not going to be able to use it as an excuse anymore. Because I see a lot of prosperity, abundance. Actually, I see that with you.
Okay.
But when you sit here and look at the situation, a reflection of you two people crossing paths and that kind of stuff, I get the same thing for him, too, but I still see somebody going, I have to hit a certain amount before I really see myself as being prosperous.
Yes, when you're correct. That's his thing. He's 37 this year, and he wants to have a certain amount of money before he has a child and all that crap.
He needs to stop. And think about the situation of having a child is the ideal of sometimes creating a want that attracts that extra income. And not just the ideal for a child, but also a surplus so one can be happy too as well. I call that babysitting.
Wow.
So, they're like, it's like this, sweetie. He's like a freaking married man. They always have these levels that they got to get to, but all they are is excuses. As soon as my kids grow up and move out, I'll get divorced and we'll get together. As soon as I retire, we'll get together. As soon as I die and come back, we'll get together. So, you know, it's a constant something on the other, because what it really is just an excuse for a person's insecurities about committing to somebody else and they're comfortable where they're at. His mistress is his business.
Yeah, he has this record company that he wants to develop, which costs a lot of money, thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And
what kind of business is it?
Music label.
Yeah, but see, the one thing this is the truth, guys. Isn't it great? She came to a person who used to be a musician who sings and that stuff and who's been in that industry for a very long time. And the ideal situation is it's called connections, and connections don't cost money. It's the idea of being in the right place at the right time. I was in a band and we got a record deal.
Well, he doesn't have that.
Well, he does if he would open his mind to the possibility. See what I'm saying? The idea of spirituality is the idea of creating a career that you're destined to do and the opportunities to do so. It's called energy, crossing paths with people. And the reason I was saying was I was in a situation where we actually got a letter in the mail. to go record at a local studio we have here down in Chillicothe. Okay, now this is a free thing. They just want to bring people in because they also teach people how to teach people how to run and operate that equipment when they do you know, become recording people, that kind of stuff, technicians and stuff. So when they're doing that, they can't charge people because it's not professional. So what they do is they decided while they're doing this kind of thing to bring in local bands and to get them, they could record demo CDs and that kind of stuff. And in the process of doing that, we got a letter in the mail for us to go in there and do that. We went in there and they said you got 2 hours, get your butt in there and get it done and get out. Okay? Well, next thing we knew, we said, okay, great. We went in there, we did our little thing. Next thing you know, we're there. 6 days later, we're still coming in, going back, doing this, we're teaching us how to make our equipment sound better in a studio. How to put drapes and that kind of stuff over your drums and that kind of stuff, disciple them. And we're just like, one day we just kind of looked at them going, okay, you said we had 2 hours. We've been here for 6 days. You keep asking us, you're teaching us all about this equipment. You're asking us if we have any more information. All this good stuff going on. What's up? And supposedly a producer from Warner Brothers was there, Warner Brothers Records, was there, and he saw our band, and he said that we were tight, we were good, and he just thought it was a fantastic band, and they were going to sign us to a 3-year contract. See, it's just the idea of crossing paths. So the situation was just that. And that's what I'm saying with your situation here. This guy is being damn logical. Instead of opening his mind up to possibilities, I mean, like I've told Bree before, if you've heard some of the stories of stuff that I've acquired with no money, that most people would say, logically in this world, you have to do this and this and this. And they were always the opposite. I always got them first before I got the money. So see, the situation here is opportunities crossing people's paths, investors, to invest in this business and that kind of stuff. He's a talker. He needs to go past the talking point of actually doing the physical work and crossing paths and opening up the possibilities, but also with the spirituality is the idea of listening to oneself and which direction to go in, which he does need to do, because right now I just see him walking in a circle where you need to go. He's so talented in what he can do, but see, the point of having a problem with commitment is just not with relationships as a romantic. It's actually in relationships altogether.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. So he could have a very successful business right now if he would open his mind to the possibility of sitting down, and this is a simple technique you can look at as being spiritual, but a lot of people do this. Even people who are very wealthy realize the ideal of prosperity is the ideal. Put it out there, and you get back. Because look at the businesses out there. What's the one thing they do? They donate tons of money to charity, to business and that kind of stuff. Why do they do that? To keep the flow going, baby. So therefore, they can keep prospering and getting more and being more better about the situation. It's just the idea of giving back to basically everybody in that situation to them. Because I mean, in the process, now unless you think that Pepsi and Coca-Cola spend millions of dollars on advertisements every year if they didn't work. Do you think they donate all that money to charities and Jerry's Kids and that kind of stuff just to look good? No, they know exactly what it does. It keeps the energy balanced and flowing. And what do those businesses keep doing? They keep flourishing. So, enough said.
You're so right, but he doesn't have the thing going out there because he works a full-time job. He's a computer engineer.
Okay, let's do this. Why don't we try this? You can do this. You can try it. You can get it or whatever you want it to. But I'll give you the offer. I'll give you the offer to do that. We usually give away to the 10th caller a 60-minute reading for free.
Okay.
So why don't you give it to your buddy and tell him to give me a call so we can actually smack him around a little bit and maybe we get this guy motivated to actually see what his potential is and actually utilize it. So that's
that
a free reading
awesome.
For you. And if you can't get him to do it, you're more than welcome to call me and take advantage of it yourself. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, no problem. I'm just saying, you know, if you got time up and throw me from the phone, he'll have to listen to me.
I think he's on a conference call. He's on a conference call. Because he's working.
Okay, sweetie, but I guarantee when he calls me, it'll be another conference call on a spiritual level, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for calling me, and it was a pleasure talking to you as well. And just whatever you can do, thank you. Wow, she's gone, Bree. No, I mean, I didn't mean that in a bad way. I meant saying she's all, I mean, her phone number's no longer there, man. Well, you can actually see that, can't you? I'm sorry.
Yep. She disappeared.
So, poof, bye. Okay. But I really hope she takes advantage of the situation and tries to get to motivate him to do that reading, because that's hers and she can do what she wants with it. And if she's still out there listening, just check my webpage, which is www.psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com. The phone number is, it actually says 601-9835, but just take that one, which I have not had time to change out yet. But it's actually 740-601-1057. Give me a call and we'll sit down and do the whole thing for you. If you want to take advantage of that reading yourself, or give it to your boyfriend, or hey, if you're still listening, we can also do a session with both of you. So whatever's comfortable for you, whatever's great. So we are sitting here going, we have 39 minutes left in the show. So hey guys, just focus and say, I would love to do 3 more readings before the show's over with. So please give us a call here at 646-721-9031. And let's check it out. So what's going on in the chat room? I feel it's very quiet.
It is very quiet.
So I was like, let's see. Ta-da-da-da. I will work on that. Might need your help. For $50. Oh. So with the situation in hand and that kind of stuff going on. I was just going over some stuff, too, and it was kind of amazing with your friend.
Yeah, he's so smart.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, when I just started talking about it, you could just see the glow in his face. He just, like, lit up. I was like, okay, we're going to do this.
So, yeah, you know, say, hey. No, so I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get so passionate about myself. I mean, give me a little chance to talk and stuff. So I'm sorry about that. But I'd love to have him back. If he can come back next Tuesday, I'll give him the whole thing. We'll at least listen to him for 45 minutes on how he feels about the whole thing. Because he seems very I just feel like it's one of those things, you know,
mm-hmm.
that he has a lot to – he's been studying this for quite a while and has – some really deep opinions about this whole thing, and I'd love to hear it. I'd love to give him 45 minutes to do it.
Yeah. Hopefully I can convince him into next Tuesday. He just
wow. Popped in.
Yeah.
So you did some research of your own too. Why don't you tell us what you came up with? Just anything.
Well.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, sweetie. It's one of those things where. So what is it? I have more faith in you than you have in yourself? Come on.
I gotta sneak away.
Oh.
There we go. All right. Well, Tyler and I were like, we were watching some videos and like, we came across a video that they, about how they found like, the Atlantis on the Google map, you know, and they were saying that they found like, they see that there was like 3 extinct volcanoes into a form of a square.
Mm-hmm.
That they think that's Atlantis.
Oh, that's where we're talking about the one where they actually found those ruins. And it's actually closer to South Africa, isn't it? The continent of Africa. Yeah, the continent of Africa. Close up. We were talking about. You come around that continent right there as you're going toward Spain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I sit there and look at this thing going, nope. But, well, think about this. We have this big island, and I call it a big continent, because it is a continent. It's not an island. It's a continent. I mean, if you sit and look at that whole thing, couldn't we also say North America and South America are a big island? So
yeah.
I was looking at the situation, looking at this big old landmass in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, and looking at one where you could actually, you know, I mean, think about this. Think about this in some sense of the word. They've also said that Vikings were actually the very first people to come to North America, to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And we've also seen the boats that these guys were going in. Can you imagine taking one of those boats across the Atlantic Ocean? But if we go back and look at the situation of a landmass still being there,
right,
they could have actually, then all the waters, what we're talking about, it's no longer a huge ocean. It's actually more of certain kind of waterways. And the trek wouldn't be that far from a landmass where it's like the size, maybe it's a little bit bigger than the English Channel. And then you could zip across the whole thing. And I saw, you know, you saw that, I was there looking at those things too, and ruins and these volcanoes and that kind of stuff. It's like everybody's trying to take Atlantis and put it somewhere to make sense of what Plato said. When Plato may have had a real story, and he was supposed to actually write more about it. He's another dude too. He got all this influence. He was like really excited about writing this thing. He wrote it the first time, and he was supposed to actually follow up with more about it, and never did.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I mean to cut you off.
No, you didn't.
I can see those ruins you're talking about, and where they're located, and that kind of stuff. And they're more closer to South Africa than they are anything else. But when I saw them too, it's all flat through there too. And I guess they were talking about something else with someone else found some stuff on Google Map too. Do you remember that part?
Oh yeah. Okay, yeah. I had to think.
It's okay. Yeah, they were talking about where they found something else on a Google Map. I can't remember what it was. Okay, Moppy knows. Let's bring him in.
I know. He's horrible tonight.
I don't know. Maybe he knows more about Atlantis than you think.
Yeah.
A cat's past life. Memoirs of Atlantis. You know, I consider and look at the situation, I can almost see it, but I just can't pick it up. But they found these volcanoes. There's three of them, right?
Yeah.
And they're like in a square, which means they would be around this. Think about this, sweetie, too, also. When they're, you know, you're kind of put these volcanoes around this thing to give you an idea of what destroyed Atlantis. Okay, a lot of people recently say in the middle of the Mediterranean, on the island of Crates, the entire island was destroyed by a volcano. Okay, so there's no evidence left. There's no foundations or nothing because, think about this. If you took an atomic bomb and put it in the White House and exploded the White House, do you think you really find anything of that? You know, anything you could actually recognize? You could say, well, there's a white piece of stone. This is from the White House. But that's interpretation. Ooh, yeah, look at this thing. It's white. The White House is white, right? But here we have ruins, you know, what's left of a civilization that is actually perfectly put together. They said, because they were saying, I read the article, it was talking about Mother Nature doesn't make straight lines and things like this, and go and how they formulate, and these are definitely foundations. But if you have three volcanoes in the vicinity of destruction, of things blowing themselves up, that kind of stuff, would you really have any foundations? I'm just asking.
Right, yeah.
Am I dismissing anything you found? I'm not dismissing anything you found. I'm dismissing what they have found and saying, okay, I'm wondering about the whole thing, that's all.
Right, yep.
What was you thinking when you saw them? It's fascinating at first, right? And then as you start getting a little information and you clear your head and you're going, hold up. Why would there be a foundation left if the sucker supposedly three volcanoes, a typhoon and the tsunami and earthquakes and all this kind of stuff came along? Why are the foundations still so perfect?
Right.
It looks like to me like the water levels have risen and covered up this civilization. And what was left of these it could be simply like Egyptians. I mean, look at Egyptians. Has anything really exploded or storms, that kind of stuff? No, it's just simply nature wearing away at the foundations. Now they're laying all over the place.
Yeah.
Come on. Think about what, I'm just saying, think about what you saw and just look at the logic.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. It's just they have so much stuff that, you know, that they have out there that it's, like, really confusing on which one you can believe or if it's, you know. I guess that's probably the reason why I'm having so much trouble learning about it, because there's so much, you know, false information or there's true information and you don't know which one to actually go to.
Yeah, it's like the idea of this, you know, sometimes, like I always tell people before, when I'm looking at all this stuff and I'm focusing and picking information up and going over the whole thing, it's an initial thing too, listening to what's coming through and asking questions and okay, angels and guides and say, okay, I'm looking at this information and what do you think? I mean, when I was up here and I went to this castle up here in town, it's a bed and breakfast. This castle is way over, it's more than 100 years old. And the property and all that kind of stuff. I was looking at some pictures, and it was just how it resonated with me, and I just felt like they were fakes. And then I was flipping through the whole thing. I found a picture in the background. I found a picture in the back, and when I saw that picture, it was like, that's real. But the other ones that preceded before it, I'm like, these are fabrications. And it's the same thing with that. I just, to me, when I sit there and I saw that, it's fascinating to look at it. But the energy I got from it seemed to be more of trying to convince you too much. If it is what it is, then it will present itself that way. And there's just a lot of people talking and saying, this is what we think. And we did find something else using this kind of same technology. And I'm not saying they didn't. But it's the same thing with the people who fabricated those pictures up there, too. They were saying they used a technology that people use to take pictures of spirits. They just kind of fabricated the spirits.
Yeah.
Same technique. It's the same technique that you would normally do to take pictures of spirits in the first place. Mm-hmm. But they just kind of fabricated the spirits. So some people would look at it and go, ooh, same picture, same technology. You took a picture of the real one. So I guess the other ones have to be real too, huh? And some of us have a tendency to give in too easily and say, yeah, I guess so, yeah. And some of us who don't, sometimes the idea of taking that step and going that direction can be a little bit scary, too. It's like, you know, people sitting there going, you're crazy. Oh, really? I just have a tendency to take it one step further and look at it. When I started looking at those runways, I'm like, hold on for a minute. We got runways, we have directional things and that kind of stuff. And seriously, think about this. If you have technology off the scale on how you can travel from universe to universe, from planet to planet, do you think they actually do have a marker on every one of those planets? I'm just saying, it's like on this part, when you start traveling in a ship, you go to many countries. Do you have to have a beacon to get there? No, you have directional devices, radar, this kind of stuff. To sit there and look at freaking UFOs, aliens from other planets, you don't think they have technology like that? It's like looking at Star Trek. You've watched Star Trek before. Do they have beacons anywhere to find these places?
No.
They have equipment on their ships that direct. They program it in, okay, this place is like, you know, it's just information. You program to your computer, and then you have a directional device that helps you get there.
Yeah.
And then when you get there, you're a ship. You can look down on everything. Ooh, look at there. We've been there before, man. It's a beaches, you know. So,
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we have runways and we have beacons and that kind of stuff. That sounds like something we need here on this planet at the time, because we were just experimenting with, like, Atlanteans experimenting with flight. You know, they're not alien runways. I, like I said before, I got caught up in the whole thing because it was exciting, you know, aliens and that kind of stuff, and seeing all these pictures and drawings and graphs and that kind of stuff of these ancient people drawing on stones and that kind of stuff, of these people with things on their heads and that kind of stuff. And I was just like, the one picture I saw was it was a statue, and the guy looks like he's wearing a mask, but it was like a scuba mask. So I'm thinking, that seems more earthling than it does alien. Somebody learned how to breathe underwater. Jules Verne, that's who it is. It's Jules Verne. Came up with all these things of submarines, rockets, time travel, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And almost everything he wrote about in the 1800s has come to pass. Flying, you know, motorized ships, space travel. The only thing that hasn't come to pass, supposedly, is time travel.
Yeah.
Like I said, supposedly.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have my doubts about that one too. I think it has been discovered, and people are using it. And that's the reason a lot of people really have more insights on certain cultures that they have a tendency to argue about. It'd be kind of crazy, wouldn't it? You find out that the government has that kind of technology, and that they've been working with Atlanteans since the early 20s. Because we were sitting there talking on my, I used to have this daytime show about the Philadelphia Project, which is actually working with Atlanteans to create technology that was actually based more on time travel. But it's like working with scientists, okay, and the government only tells them just a little bit. Here's some technology, here's some theories on how to make a battleship invisible to radar, and in the process they only give them a little bit of information. Okay, this is why the government, I think, has so many accidents and same things, because they keep a lot of information to themselves because they don't want to get caught or found out that they might be getting information from some other source that they couldn't explain, and then find out they're doing it for a very long time, which actually would get very irritating too, that they would be hiding these things for many, many, many times. I mean, it's like looking at the situation out in Roswell. When it wasn't an alien spacecraft that crashed. It was actually them working with Atlanteans to create our own space travel. They were introducing it to us in the process of working with this stuff. You know, only telling the scientists half of what's going on, creating, so we have a little gap here and that kind of stuff. So an accident occurs. So the reason we don't find any evidence of any kind of aliens or anybody who was in these ships, because actually what they were actually test pilots who got singed. So what we're seeing here is basically singed corpses because of these accidents of these two alien spacecrafts crashing into each other, when it was actually, because actually right now they're talking about there was actually that night in 1947, it was actually two spacecrafts, not just one. And I've actually seen it where it's actually two spacecrafts that run into each other because of a loss in directional. The directional devices in this one craft. And it crashes into the other one. So this technology that this farmer found was something we came up with. But it was actually a Atlantean technology of liquid metal and that kind of stuff, and that's how people described it. There was actually one piece where it talks about this metal stuff just unfolds, and then when you sit there and grab it and creep it, it just goes right back to the same form. It's like liquid metal. When was the last time we actually saw that kind of technology in liquid metal? It was in the Terminator movies.
Yeah.
Mhm. So now we're sitting there going, so we see things in movies. We see things in some of these little things with Roswell and in Mexico and that kind of stuff. And what in seriously, if you ever look at Roswell and Area 51, they have people flying out of there on unmarked airplanes. Nobody goes into this place. Everybody's flown in. They have their own runways. They have their own everything. I think they have their own little shopping centers and everything. So when you're there, you are there. And I think they have a tendency to change personnel from time to time, I think about every 6 months. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what are you going to talk about? I'm just saying, you know, go check out some evidence about Area 51 and those kind of things and see the information about that. They have these private jets. They're all white. There's no markings or nothing on them. And actually, in aviation, you cannot have a plane or anything that flies in the air without having serial numbers and to be marked. That's actually federal law.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, we got a great show here, guys. I don't understand why we don't have people calling in. I would love to talk to somebody right now, do a reading. Do I not like talking to Bree? No, I love talking to Bree. I just think one of these days she's going to open up and we're going to sit here going, I wish he would just stop talking. And then we'll all be sitting here listening. It's just getting to that point of saying, okay, I've got something to say. 3 days later, and she's still going strong, so.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
So, it's kind of amazing how we see a lot of things that happen right in front of our faces and seeing people get away with this stuff. And you know it's got to be government backing up the whole thing and just wondering how much is really there that we don't know about.
Right.
Because there's a lot of space, a lot of people didn't know about the space program for a long time, a lot of things that were going on, that kind of thing. And that kind of slowly came out. And then there was the U-2 aircraft. And that was actually one of those aircrafts that everybody thought was a UFO because the government kept it a secret for a long time. And they finally revealed that one. And then we had the flying wing and that kind of thing. Ooh, we actually have a caller. I'm sorry, I got excited. So I'm going to click on this caller and say, hey, what's up? Okay, let's try this again. Hey, what are you doing?
I was just listening to you. I jumped in on this again. I seen you talking about Atlantis. My name is Mark. I've talked to you before.
Yes, Mark. I recognize your voice. So how are you?
Busy.
Right.
I'm curious. You're familiar with Zachariah Sitchin, I imagine?
I'll say yes.
Okay. Well, he wrote the Earth Chronicles books, and talking about many, many years ago that there was an atomic explosion or maybe an atomic war. I mean, we're talking alien stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Over in the Middle East where the basic desert turned to glass due to the heat.
Mm-hmm.
Ever follow that?
I actually saw some of those things too. And actually, the movie War of the Worlds was actually based on that, really, realistically. It was the idea of the world going through a catastrophe of so great magnitude that the people were actually traumatized by it so much they couldn't remember it. So, therefore, these things tried to take over the world, that kind of stuff, and then people just basically blocked it out of their memory. They couldn't remember it any longer. It's like Simon and Gomorrah. Solomon and Gomorrah. Was the same way too, as well. People not turn.
I heard somewhere along the line that Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah, you got it. Thanks. That actually was a nuclear explosion.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The whole thing about it, because we're sitting here, this one guy. See, the one guy who had the thing. You know, basically talks about God being an astronaut. What he's saying is, it's not that he doesn't believe in God and the angels and that kind of stuff, but he also believes that some of the technology and some of these things he's read about appearing on chariots and doing this and that and the other, is he's just saying they're not the same, they're not one and the same. That there's aliens that existed that did certain things that are sometimes described in the Bible, and then there's God and the angels. which is separate, all above that whole thing. Because he says it, he said it to him, it actually reaffirmed that God and the angels did exist, because where these aliens and the technology and all that stuff, where it came from, which actually it says in the Bible that everything that's ever been conceived and been created and that kind of stuff has been done before many, 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 many times. So to sit there and say that Atlantis doesn't exist or didn't exist, I still think it exists. And even the Bible mentions that technology and all the stuff that we think about has been done over many, many times in different nations. So the idea of the glass, and you're right, when you have great humongous explosions with that kind of stuff, especially with that kind of magnitude, you do get the formation of glass. And the situation they were talking about, that's what I was saying before, it was kind of a crazy thing when they were looking at the war, when the movie The War of the World was. Most people think it was H.G., what was his name again? The guy who did that show on the radio and scared the hell out of everybody. What's his name? Orson Welles.
Yeah.
The idea, because the one people were talking about the situation, why would you have such a control over people to have that kind of a masses that got out of control and started shooting and things? It was the idea of what he was really stimulating was actually past life memories. So therefore, their fears were playing themselves out based on things that they had brought with them from previous lives. So when we look at all through life, we look through history and that kind of stuff, the reason a lot of this stuff is coming back to the format because it existed. And now people are starting to see things differently to the point where they're not going to sit there and look at situations anymore. And I kind of think the government's kind of getting angry because the idea what they were trying to portray of hiding themselves in some sense of the word was to play on fear. Well, people are not letting that happen anymore.
Well, from what I heard somewhere along the line, I don't believe everything I hear, but that whole show was kind of like a government experiment to see how people would react to something like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Crazy.
So I guess that's why they actually won't, you know, tell us what's really going on. Supposedly.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it's one of those things. I always look at the government weird because the only difference between them is maybe to make them a little more money. But still being on the same levels, and someone sitting there, and we got government officials are always getting themselves in hot water about this, that, and the other. The idea of saying, you're smarter than I am, boy, that's really pushing it.
Well, we know that's true.
Like they were setting off the nuclear bombs and that kind of stuff. I thought it was kind of creepy in some sense, the word, to realize that the German government was actually closer, really close, a lot closer than most people think to coming up with the atomic bomb. And actually, we basically snatched up these German scientists and brought them over here. And the excuse of what we thought was best for the world, and I'm not saying it's not. I mean, shoot, some of the things that Hitler was wanting to do and his insanity, everything plays out like it's supposed to, and I feel like it was one of those things that definitely needed to fall into place the way it did. I think we could have gone a different way than kidnapping scientists and bring him over here and say, okay, you're going to help us now, because that kind of puts us on the same level, I think. We were also bad about putting Germans in camps ourselves. We didn't go to the extremes that Hitler did, but this is what I always say about people who do not face their demons. They have a tendency to manifest in other ways, and Hitler was a prime example of that, because he was Jewish too, and the idea of not wanting to look at his own problems, his own Jewish background, he wanted to deflect the Jews so he wouldn't have to be reminded of it.
Well, speaking of Hitler, I also read or heard or somewhere along the line, he was actually an agent of the British government. You ever hear that one?
Now, that one I have not heard about, but that sounds interesting to check out, because he also, I think everybody knew this too, right, that Hitler was really into astrology and the metaphysics, and he was actually taking a lot of technology, Atlantean technology, Egyptians, what else was there? He was sounding up mystics and mediums and that kind of stuff to try to get insight to the whole thing. But he was also trying to, which was kind of funny, was the idea of taking energy and converting it and putting and trying to the ideal manifestation and stuff. But he was trying to do it a different way, trying to manifest what he wanted. And he was really kicking into gear on a lot of things he was doing too. Because, I mean, the idea of turn a nation that like that, you know, sure they came to their heads, and there was a lot, like there always is, there's always people that don't follow the masses, but he sure had, he sure turned a lot of, turned a, I mean, the biggest thing, one thing about the Germans liked about Hitler was he came into power at the time the Germans having a problem with economics and that kind of stuff and turned the country around. And then he just exploited it and actually came back to bite him in the.
Well, actually, from you know, actually, it's public record now. I guess the bankers supported both sides of the war. They supported Hitler and you know the United States and British, and you know they're on both sides, figuring they're going to win either way.
Don't the banks still do that?
Well, yeah, they do.
No, I was actually when I was living in Maryland, and I had a chance to be on the grand jury for about for a year, and we actually had a guy had a company came in that actually supplied mustard gas, and they were actually supplying both Iraq and us at the same time. And
yeah, well,
so a lot of things we think that
propagate war. That's how they make more money.
Oh yeah, because back in the because people were like, why did the Vietnam War last as long as it did? Because it wasn't a war for one thing; it was never declared a war, not on our side of it anyway. We're just supposed to be there. Like one guy said in Korea, if we're supposed to be here policing, how come we're not writing out tickets? You know, basically doing the little thing. I mean, we're actually here fighting. Our people are dying and that kind of stuff. And people are like, it's okay. And if you sit back and look at all those those situations, there was a lot of politicians making a lot of money. And actually, with the Vietnam War, that's when the cocaine thing really kicked in big time anyway.
Yeah, well, hey, they used to stuff, you know, dead guys full of bags of cocaine or heroin or whatever and ship them back from what I've heard, whatever. You hear that?
Yes, I did. I knew they were shipping them in coffins. And I didn't really actually think they were actually stuffing in the bodies, but... I mean, you know, they're doing the other
thing.
That's so.
One thing I heard. I don't know. Anyhow, I want before we run out of time, I know we're getting short here. I want to ask you, you know, get back to the big blast years ago, creating all the glass out in the desert there. Actually, if you probably find it somewhere, satellite image. Of the Middle East, you can what Zachariah Sitchin claims was a nuclear blast. I mean, it's just laid out. You know, it looks like some type of blast. He says it was nuclear blast. I don't know, but it's quite visible. But you need a satellite video or show a shot of it.
Yeah. The situation is as being unusual or not, you can place the timing on it. You can place it in a certain time where there's no technology to support the explosion of that magnitude. It wouldn't matter if it was an atomic bomb or not. I mean, even back in the Western days, we had explosives and stuff, but nothing to the magnitude of that. Supposedly, the atomic bomb was the, and hopefully that's the most powerful we get. But if you look in Star Trek and those kind of things, they actually talk about antimatter and those kind of stuff and actually creating explosives with that as well. So, and actually, I've actually read articles on dark matter, antimatter, and places that they're actually working on this stuff. The only difference about the whole thing is to also acquire these things. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
The only way you can acquire this kind of stuff, it does take some time. to acquire antimatter. It does exist, but it takes years to actually really come. Well, with the current technology that we have to actually accumulate those things, it takes some time. We've also have these things called fusion engines too, as well, where they actually, well, they're not fusion, but they actually, it's like we see the Star Trek movies and that kind of stuff. What it's actually based on is the idea of electrons and that kind of stuff. When you like with fusion and stuff, when you split, there's energy created, which gives you thrust. But right now, with the way it goes, the kind of thrust we get off those things is very gradual, and it's not as powerful as you would see in the Star Trek movies. But then again, we've seen a lot of things with propulsion and that kind of stuff go from a smaller part to a higher one. So it's just a matter of time, and that's why I keep telling people all the time that I feel like that, me personally, with all the stuff that's going on, the atomic bomb, those kind of things, to find out that they always keep talking in terms of this will be something that will probably take us 10 years to develop or something like that. And the first question I have to ask is, where do they get these timelines? Why do they know 10 years? And maybe even going back in past and actually look at when these people say and give these timelines, to see how close they really are, is if they're really actually behind it, where they've already have the technology, and they're just kind of giving it to us slowly and that kind of thing.
No, I kind of think they just make these numbers up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they really have a clue how close they are. But, you know, they think, well, the people want to know, give us a time, so they just make a number up.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, before we run out of time.
But I do believe what you're talking about out in the desert and that kind of stuff, from what I get it from intuitively and psychically, and the things I keep picking up with the whole thing, is I get it as being almost 100% true. I almost feel like there's this humongous glass underneath the sand itself. We know how it is in the Middle East. The sands are constantly moving and covering these things up, and I think they actually do that. And some of the things that have actually happened there, because they know that's what's going to happen, because the Sphinx itself has been uncovered at least 4 times. And a lot of people didn't know it was even there until someone kind of, the winds blew away to a point where they decided to dig the thing out again. The Egyptians really work on it now, but there have been years, many years, between the idea of unearthing this thing and taking care of it. And the reason it's not dead is because of the sands covering it up and bringing it. So it makes perfect sense with the situation. Khufu actually put the face on that thing too, and because it used to be cat, a lion. You know, there's a representation of Uriel, which I've always seen as the archangel's strength, and I saw that with that situation too. And I've actually been in a situation where I feel like the Egyptians and the people who built those things always built them in twos, because that's how they built these things, for protection. That's why they were always at doorways and that kind of stuff, and you always had two of them. I still feel like there's one out there.
You mean to say they changed the faces on the Sphinx over the years?
Yeah, so when you look at the situation, it's Khufu, and then someone else changes it because, and this has been proven that whoever wins by history, and we know for a fact the Egyptians were very egotistic about this is my reign, this is kind of thing like that going on like that, and we've actually seen evidence of certain pharaohs coming in and actually trying to erase the previous one. So with situations of that kind of thing, that's what I'm saying. To sit there and look at these things and go, okay, this is one. We know for a fact that we've seen cultures built over top of their, like a castle gets blown to the freaking ground. They come back in, build over top of that one. If it happens again, they build over top of that one. Just to sit there and say, to have one theory that covers it all doesn't make sense to me. Because that's why I was talking about Atlantis. People sitting there going, well, I think we found it in China, Japan, Australia, Iceland, the Atlantic Ocean, the Gulf of Mexico, and that kind of stuff. What I mean, to sit there and look at these things and go on, if you have a culture that influences on every aspect of this planet, I would see that maybe they're all right, not just one. But that's our arrogance, saying, okay, one person's right, one other person's wrong.
Yeah, well, no, I agree. I've seen documentaries where, you know, they say that, they found proof where they built cities on top of cities, you know, found different roads and whatever. But anyhow,
before we get going, Go ahead.
Well, go ahead and finish what you're going to say, but I just want to put this in there. What do you think is really going on with all the radiation blowing around the world from Japan?
I don't see the problem.
No?
No. Freaking back in the day when they were experimenting, they experimented many, many, many times in the desert with nuclear bombs and that kind of testing and see what they're going to do and that kind of stuff. And the idea of radiation and how it affected that whole thing has been floating around for as long as I can remember, to the point where there's always radiation everywhere we go. So this thing with Japan and that kind of stuff, I'm really having a hard time with it because it just seems like it seems like they're trying to catch something that already happened in the first place. And they're using this as an scapegoat. They're looking at a mistake. Hey, everybody out there, I just want to say thank you for being here. And thank you for all the people who called in. And thank you for all the donations. And we'll see you tomorrow at 9. No, actually, see you tomorrow at 8. When we do our Wednesday show, Past Life. It's actually called Free Angel Reading Roundtable, Past Life Wednesday. That's where we talk about past lives and that kind of stuff. And really focus on, were you an Egyptian? Or past lives and where you originated from, to actually to explain a lot of things that are actually going on in your life right now. Some of the things that maybe you can't let go of. Maybe they go past more than just this lifetime. Let's check it out. And with you, Mark, with the situation, I feel like that I've always seen these situations as a cover-up. It was like I was talking to Bree when they said they found this foundation closer to South Africa, underneath the ocean, where they think this great continent was. I'm not saying the great continent didn't exist. I really feel like I see that, too. I see that there was a great continent there at one time. And there's a civilization there, too. You can see the foundation very clearly, all the stairs, the whole thing. And like they always say, nature doesn't make those kind of things. And my biggest thing with the situation, like I told her, we're looking for Atlantis, and Atlantis was destroyed. Okay? So you wouldn't have perfect foundations. You just wouldn't. You would have something that looked like something that was there at one time, but a big old hole.
But, yeah, you would have a semblance of some type of human construction, not just a haphazard nature thing.
Yeah, and they were saying, well, look, there's a foundation. It must be Atlantis. Why? Now, to me, and every time I look at the situation, the thing that bugs me the most is everybody's looking for something. Like in the movie Atlantis, the Empire, they were under assumption that when they found Atlantis, they would just find some old ruins and kind of stuff to the ground. And that thing, never thought in a million years they would find people. And I think that's, it's amazing how we come up with these things, these storylines and that kind of stuff. I just feel like they're really topping on suppressed memories of things that still exist. I mean, it's like the technology we were talking about before, right? And I'll tell everybody, I feel like there's like five or six outposts of Atlantis with force fields over them that still exist. And we have all these scientists and people who go crazy and they go, I know where Atlantis is. The last one I talked to who said he thinks he knows where, he thought he knew where Atlantis was in China, he just lost. I mean, it was so funny.
Well, do you think the foundations off of Africa, you think that was a part of Atlantis or a different time frame or what?
Yeah, let's look at it that way. The whole thing of finding these foundations and stuff of parts of Atlantis that still existed. Because I was telling a friend of mine before that I feel like these outposts still exist. I feel like the continent that we're talking about existed. But when I see Atlantis, I always see it in the middle of the Mediterranean where Crates is. If you look at Crates, there's a big old hole. And there's kind of this way the island's formatted and stuff. If you look at it as a whole island, it really falls in the category of what we're talking about with the locks and that kind of stuff of the Great Palace and stuff like that. But I also feel like if you really dig deep in that whole thing, that when Atlantis blew up, like I was talking before, if you ever seen the movie Resident Evil, there's this complex way underneath the earth. And I just felt like that Atlantis had one of those things too. So when we're talking about destruction, we're talking about implosion and explosion. But it was more of a situation of that part being destroyed. But these outposts and that great continent was still there. And a lot of pieces of Atlantis still existed. We're talking about when I look at the situation, I see it as, like the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was huge, but the base of operation was Rome, And I think if I'm not mistaken, even when Rome fell, the outposts some of them still thrived because they learned how to sustain themselves. So we look at the situation of Volantis doing the same thing, where the Romans and Greeks and all these other people learned how to do this, you know, spanning out and conquering. But it wasn't really conquering. I mean, the Romans did, don't get me wrong, yeah. Greeks and those kind of stuff. But people want to throw Atlanteans in there because of the history that came afterwards of warlike people and that kind of stuff, and Atlantis wanting to conquer Athens. I just don't think Athens was really one of those things you'd want to conquer at that time, of something, some kind of place you want to do to. But they, what they want to do is they want to take history as it is, because of how warlike those people were back in those days, to actually look at a culture that would be something different than that, almost like night and day. Some people just can't conceive that part. But I'm just saying, with all the things I've done with past lives and working with people and even my own visions of the whole thing, I just saw Atlantis as a very peaceful place. It was the ideal of these people. We could look at Athenians, Romans, you know, those kind of people. Why can't we look at the other way around, of these people intersecting into Atlantis and try and, ooh, you guys got a great thing going on.
Well, evidently something went wrong with Atlantis.
Yes,
I think it was part of their doing or nature.
No. I want you to think about this. If we're talking about almost 11,000 years before Plato, and then we're talking about Atlanteans in the heyday, you're actually placing history in the middle of right there of another ice age that came in and came back and forth and that kind of stuff. So you still have a planet that's actually expanding and just, you know, still in a kind of a... It's constantly moving and evolving. It's doing it now with a lot of things going on too as well. It's also said that as a planet, it's on its axis, has a tendency to wobble. When it stops wobbling, the planet usually goes into an ice age. But a lot of people are also using, as again, they're using history to explain, okay, the Earth has done the same thing. It stopped wobbling again. And I just, right now, I think they're just trying to cover their asses with a lot of things they're doing. But I'm just saying, when I sit and look at the situation and stuff like that, Atlanteans, it's like this. I still feel like the outpost that I keep talking about, because I actually saw a picture of this too, that someone actually brought up, where I was trying to find a picture where every time I would do one of these past lives, I would always see these civilizations underneath the ocean with these aqua blue force fields. That's kind of the same. I actually found a picture yesterday of a force field over top of a little thing like that too. Or like when you look at that movie Atlantis, The Lost Empire, they basically have the same thing happen where there's a big blue aqua force field. And I'm always wondering why they come up with that kind of thing and what comes in their mind when they do those things, because most people, when they do force fields, they just put a force field over something. They don't put a lot of substance with it, you know. It's just protection, that kind of thing.
So actually, as you were talking about that, I'm watching your blog talk thing, and is that what one of that pictures is? Is the underwater dome force field thing?
Yes, exactly.
Oh. Okay. Well, it kind of looks like it's sky above it, but now I guess. I guess that's not our technology doing that.
That's Atlantean. Because I was starting to talk about the situation and some of the things that we actually are using now and that kind of stuff, where you can trace it back to people picking up on stuff like that. But Edgar Cayce was a person who thought, you know, from Atlantis and that kind of stuff. And some of the, we actually do have crystals and stuff in our computers and stuff. We're starting to get to that whole thing. And you start seeing movies and series, and they're using crystals. And I actually saw this one where there's a lady, I can't remember her name, I was trying to find this information because someone brought it on the show one day. There's a lady who actually can read crystals and actually can find crystals that she feels is either, because I always felt like when I focused on Lemuria and Atlantis, they were one and the same. It's just the Lemurians evolved into the Atlanteans.
All right. Do you know of any cases where somebody says they have contact with Atlanteans? I mean, they come up to the surface for this or that, or check things out, or anything?
Yeah, they do. It's like the idea. We've had stories of, like, with the... You have stories of UFOs going into the water. Well, you know, and people say, well, they're hiding from... They won't be detected. And you're sitting there going, what in the world are you thinking? UFOs get spotted all the time. They have no problem hiding. They don't hide themselves. They just right out there they are.
Hey, I said, Christopher Columbus had sightings, from what I read.
Yeah, it was. He called it a fireball that went across the horizon. And he also said there was also lights underneath the ocean, too, as well. And what was the other one? There's been a couple of other things there. There was actually something I saw on the Discovery Channel. It was actually on the History Channel, and it was these UFO guys were trying to do. They actually had a spy satellite that actually took pictures between North America and South America, right there in the Gulfs, in that waterway right there, where they actually found tunnels. You could see tunnels from the satellite. You could see tunnels underneath the ocean, going back and forth and that kind of stuff. And then 2 weeks later, they were gone.
Oh.
So it was one of those detections of actually looking at technology. That, see, you know, I think we talked about this before, where a force field around a spacecraft or any kind of craft, when you go into certain things, like when you're like you're a UFO and you're flying and you're hitting the water, what protects you as a buffer is that force field will absorb the trauma. So I looked at the situation going, to take into account, in that kind of account of, you know, we're looking at people, where are they from? They're taking into account a lot of things that going into the water, no big deal, you know. But we know for a fact, in some sense of the word, that in order to really be prepared, we know about these things in advance before we go into these situations. And I just feel like these crafts we're talking about are actually visiting. They're actually visiting these places because they knew that they already had a relationship with these people, because they were talking about many races. I mean, we have the reptilians and the Sicilians, or Centilians, I can't remember what they call it, but there's two warlike cultures, alien cultures, but there was also many other ones. The Pleiadians and that kind of stuff were very peaceful, and a lot of people were very drawn to the Atlantis. I just never have seen Atlantis as warlike. I feel like it's one of those things that, in the process of bringing in and letting these alien races come in, it threw the balance off of Atlantis. And the reason the volcano destroyed the main palace was the ideal. Can you imagine having such a great telepathic powers you could actually control a volcano and your environment and that kind of stuff, which actually, if you look in the Bible, it mentions having dominion over the planet. So, you know, these situations of these things happening all the time.
Well, you know, actually, I have played around with that, not with volcanoes, but with clouds.
Yeah.
That's what cloud busting. If you just concentrate on a cloud, start with a small one, and concentrate on it disappearing, disappear, disappear, disappear. It disappears. I mean, it's just right before your eyes.
No, I understand, because we actually did the same thing with one day I was sitting there focusing on a friend of mine, and I was doing a reading when I was in Colorado, and I was like, gosh, you know, it says when you focus on something, you don't focus on what you don't want, you focus on what you do want. So I was like, it's real cloudy, and I said, you know something, okay, I'm focusing on a sunny day. I would just love to have a sunny day right now. And I was sitting there doing the reading for this lady, and I just happened to look up in the middle of the reading going, the clouds are gone, and it's a sunny day. And it was about 20 minutes. And if you would have seen this overcast sky, it was, like, incredible.
it's cool to watch it. You know, I try telling people about it. You know, they just look at you like you're nuts. But, I still do it. So, for my own enjoyment, I guess. But I never... making a rainstorm disappear, but I think I may have to do that the next few days, because it's supposed to rain here for quite a while.
Right, I used to practice that too when I was walking somewhere and it started raining. I said, no, come on, I just want to get to where I got to go without getting wet. You know?
Man.
Well, speaking of that, getting back to the radiation again, I've heard reports of you know, the rain and, well, snow in some parts, bringing down this radiation, and people claim to, you know, be getting burned by it. Acid rain. You hear anything about that?
To tell you the truth, Mark, I haven't heard nothing about those kind of things. I mean, I've heard the acid rain thing. I've experienced certain things here and there, but it's like with Courtney, she brought up the idea of these chemical trails of jets leaving streams of chemicals to make us all weak, and therefore we can't see the future and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That might be true and that kind of stuff, but I also know how the body works too, and that we have a tendency to build, after a while, a period of time, we do have a tendency to build immunity up to these things. So I understand that. I'm not saying they're not, but it's the idea of the situation, and they still have this kind of effect. You just feel a lot of these things are, if they are happening, eventually you think financial problems would come into the situation of keeping it up, because if the body does adapt to everything, then you'd have to keep changing it or upping the dosages and that kind of stuff. Sometimes I think some of these things that the government does and that kind of stuff, they think they're doing a service to us, and when they're actually working against us and them too. Because they're not, I mean, I just, some of the things they do, I'm not saying we don't have scientists that are intelligent, can do all kinds of wacky things, and some things that, some of the technology is out there that is happening right now that we don't know about. But some of these government officials, all they think about is getting laid, you know? I don't know if it's stress relief or what, but it makes me wonder. And I was sitting there looking at some of these things and the radiation you're talking about, and I've already seen a lot of documentaries on the radiation that's blowing around the jet. Out there in the Nevada desert from all the testing of atomic bombs and stuff.
One number I ran across was that in the U.S. itself, they have tested 1,054 nuclear bombs. That's a lot of radiation.
Yeah. But, have you ever sit there and try to figure out... I mean, why?
No. Hey,
I
mean, I just think about it. That's a whole bunch, you know, whatever number it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at the cancer rates, how they increased, you know, right around that kind of time or afterwards. Not good stuff, no matter what way you look at it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know it can drive you crazy. The only thing I tell people all the time is maybe we should sit there and find out what the situation is and what the solution is maybe the idea why we're being directed to such a mass consciousness of spirituality is the ideal of realizing that no matter what happens in this world, we can actually heal ourselves and the situation and the planet.
You're absolutely right. I agree 100%.
Because the one thing I always have problems with a lot of people that are talking in certain things of conspiracies and that kind of stuff, this is a proven fact, all right? 1 year, this group got together and put a lot of people together around the globe and to focus on Washington, D.C., to see if they could actually, with just mass consciousness and a positive direction of positive energy, could actually change the murder rates in Washington, D.C., that it would actually drop that year, okay? And they focused on this thing. They had periodically, they had meditations, and everybody got together and would focus on the murder rate in Washington, D.C. dropping. And by the end of that year, the murder rate actually dropped by 1%.
Well, that's a whole lot of people considering the murder rate in Washington, D.C.
Exactly, because when I was there like 7 years ago, they were talking about 425 murders a year.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the biggest, you know, crimes in the country.
We also focus on Mayor Barry would actually be indicted for cocaine possession, and that happened too. So that was freaky too. This guy got busted, and they had footage and everything of this guy in a hotel room with a hooker smoking crack.
Didn't they reelect him anyhow?
Yes, they did.
Imagine that.
Yeah, so I think Washington, D.C. deserves what they get.
Yeah, well, that's politics for you.
Yeah. Yep, and you sort of look at the situation, you look at it and go, you know, it's crazy, but it's the only system we got, and it just makes you want to pack your bags and move. And I did kind of freak out when I saw it in a friend of mine. I was like, did you ever watch the movie National Treasure? And actually, the Declaration of Independence, it actually says in that piece, it does say that it's your sole responsibility that when this government ceased to exist, it was set up to work, it's your responsibility to do something to do that, or you have the option of striking off and starting your own country. And people go, that sounds crazy. I said, does it? 13 colonies did that from England. Doesn't sound like a far-fetched thing to me. And the government doesn't want you to know those things. Why is that? Because we're actually descendants from England. So therefore, you knew it was going to happen sooner or later, where someone's going to try to control the whole masses and want to be the whole thing. I mean, this whole thing with the government talking about we're going to close the government down if we don't get any more money, when all it is just basically there's people sitting there going, okay, we'll give you the money. It's blackmail.
Well, actually, I think it'd be a good idea if they just did close down and go away.
Well, I was sitting there talking to people, and I said, you know, for a fact, if the American government collapses like the Roman Empire did, people still thrived. It was just that the government and that kind of stuff, it just collapsed. Why did it collapse? Because there wasn't really a lot of support and focus on that. It was more focus on one person. If you're going to be in government, it's a group effort. If you have a bunch of people that are not really focusing on, you know, the real selves and focusing on what the truth and the whole thing is, and everybody's always about what they're going to gain out of it. I mean, come on, it's kind of crazy that our government's gotten as far as it has when the government officials can actually vote on if they should give themselves a raise or anything.
Well, that's it. There's no more money for them to take. I mean, people are basically broke. So, I mean, mm-hmm. they want more money, taxes. People don't got it. So, the government can't run with it. Well, they can. All they got to do
they can, yeah.
They just print more money, but you know how it works.
Yeah, it's a crazy situation because what it is, it's the ideal. See, the reason all this stuff is having such a hard time because there's a lot of things that exist that shouldn't exist. You know, they're like if you really look at government, you look at the local governments and that kind of stuff. I mean, it's the ideal of putting situations in a way where they're generating revenue for themselves so they can keep themselves, so they can sustain, you know, police, cops, and that kind of stuff because they keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger every year. You know, and it's like the idea that they use the excuse that society's getting bigger, so we need the law enforcement for protection, that kind of stuff. What I think is really, what we really need to do is the idea of focusing on the individual and developing the individual. Like in Star Trek, this might sound crazy, but in Star Trek, what's really more important is a person's gifts, the individual being strong within himself, so therefore it contributes to the strength of civilization. And if you look at the way we look at now, we do the opposite. We think by handing somebody money, we're going to solve a problem when actually we're not even really looking into the person themselves of what's really going on, which is an imbalance within one person. And these are just too simple, you know, and the idea of correcting all these things. I mean, society's getting so whacked out in certain situations. I mean, there's a balance here and there, but it all seems to be in these people that are actually having great lives and that kind of stuff. The balance is within themselves. If we could just work with everybody to do that, then society would probably balance itself out too. Therefore, we would need all this freaking tons of freaking money. Hold on for a second.